Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Hey everybody, this is Larry Roberts, guitarist from November's Doom, and you are listening to Metal Geeks Podcast. Rock out with your geek out, or get the hell out.
Now,
sweaty balls.
Oh, it's sweaty balls tonight, is it? We've upgraded.
Yep.
We've been running a lot, so we got sweaty balls.
Yep.
Welcome to episode number 101 of the Metal Geeks Podcast.
Start of a new era here.
It is a new era.
It's post 100.
Post 100, right?
Yeah.
Very good.
I'm smart. 101. Yay.
SMRT. This is supposed to be our 101 Dalmatians episode, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why we have the dogs to name, here, right?
That's what we have to do now. We have to name every single Dalmatian in that movie.
Spot.
In number 2, and 3, and 4. Do they all have names?
Wasn't one was like Rollo, the fat one?
Rollo, yeah. How do you remember that shit?
I used to like that movie a lot. I know Pogo.
Pogo, yeah.
Pogo was the main one.
Yeah, was the...
Perdita was the...
There you go.
The mother dog.
Goddamn.
Pongo, actually. It was Pongo and Perdita. Pongo.
There you
the
go.
The things that we remember. All that useless information.
Rolly Crump, I believe it was, had to animate every single Dalmatian spot in that movie.
It's in that book right there. It talks about it.
It's a pain in the ass, what it is.
So, let me introduce my co-host, and we have a very special guest on this episode. So go around the table.
This is George Tripsis.
This is Dave.
Kickstarter man, right?
Is that going to be my
your Kickstarter
temporary nickname?
George Kickstarter Tripsis.
That's right. George you finally Kickstarter got Tripsis, yeah.
And are you brutal today?
Yes.
Very cool.
I might be...
Brutal every day.
I am brutal every day. Today I'm a little bit more doom today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about that. Yeah. I want to hear all about that show that I didn't fucking go to because I had to work. But I want to welcome our very special guest. His name is Josh. He's also known as That Drummer Guy. And he is also one of our cool show that's on Metal Onslaught Radio. Welcome, sir.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Doing great. Thank you very much for having me on the show. I've been listening to you guys for months, and it's a tremendous honor to be on the show here and share the station with you on Metal Onslaught Radio.
So you're the guy. You're that one guy.
You're that other guy.
You're the dude.
Thanks, man.
I'm the dude, man.
And I've been listening to your show, truthfully, because I found out about a lot of really cool bands from you listening to your show. And you do a lot of fucking interviews that I wish I had more time for, but I really don't. I work like 8 part-time and then full-time jobs. Pretty much.
I still don't know how I'm able to do all the interviews I've been doing lately. Within the last week and a half, I think I'm going to be at 11 by Friday. So I still don't know how I've done that this week and a half.
Okay, let's play a game here. Name the 11 band that you've interviewed and see how many George can recognize.
0. I'm going to guess.
No, you might know 1 or 2.
Okay. I'm going to guess maybe 2.
What you got?
All right. I'm going to do this in recent order from who I just interviewed today and then going back. Burton C. Bell from Fear Factory.
I know that band.
All right.
Jim Godfrey from Frost.
I actually do know that band. That's 2.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Thanks to Spotify.
Yeah.
Rolf Munks of Crematory.
Okay.
Christopher Emery, drummer of American Head Charge.
I do know that band.
I'm sorry.
I've seen
one.
Them live before.
Actually, I have a ticket for the show coming up here. If you want to go.
I don't want to go, to be honest with you.
Who else you got?
A band I'm not too familiar with who got a hold of me called Message to the Masses.
I think Carrie's mentioned them before.
I've never heard that name before in my life.
Somebody said it. I've heard the name before. I don't know who that is, though.
Stop putting words in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? What else you got?
Niles Mullen, singer of the band Dynasty.
Huh? There you go. With a Z. Dynasty with a Z.
Don't know that one.
Power metal, you wouldn't like it.
Okay, good.
Dennis Turvik of Affiance.
Never heard of him.
Nope.
It's kind of like metalcore with power metal vocals instead of screams.
I'm confused by that.
Well, so it's got like the instrumentation of metalcore, but instead of doing the screams, that's normally associated with it. It's more the power metal style vocals.
Okay, I could.
That's too unorthodox for Carrie.
It's weird.
He can't get on board with that.
His metal mind is exploding. So they're genty?
Right now. I wouldn't say really genty. I'd say more of like the 2000s metalcore, like the early 2000s.
Okay.
Kind of like Killswitch Engage, that kind of stuff.
Interesting combination. Okay, what else you got?
Ray Hearn, drummer of the band Haken.
I like Haken.
Mm-hmm.
Good prog.
Oh, yes. Two of the members from the band Tribulation.
Hey.
Hey.
Somebody here saw them last night.
Yep.
Oh, that's where I've heard that name before.
And it wasn't me. What did you compare? What did you say when I asked what Tribulation sounded like? What did you say?
So I wasn't familiar with them really before the show last night. I had seen their name around and seen that they had gotten positive reviews for their last album, but I wasn't familiar with them. But when their set was over, I turned to my wife and I said it was like if The Cure and Depeche Mode were a doom metal band is what they sounded like. You said that you thought that they were a different sound. It may be that it's just like their most recent material that way. That, 'cause I listened to that new album today, and it was a lot of it was the stuff that they played last night. So I don't know if that's a new development in their sound. Again, I'm just learning about these guys. I really enjoyed their set, though.
Why don't we ask the guy who just interviewed
him? Okay.
Yeah, I mean... I would say it's kind of, to me, it's like the black metal version of Ghost in a way where it's got that psychedelic hard rock kind of instrumentation, but it has the black metal screams instead of the Ghost style vocals.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit. I was definitely hearing some like, 80s goth rock kind of riffage and...
Like Bauhaus and all that?
Yeah, yeah. Some of the kind of shimmery guitar sounds and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Better than that other band? What are they called?
I don't know who you're referring to.
The one I saw open up for Anthrax?
I don't know.
What'd you say? Def Haven. Yeah. Oh, my God. What do you think about that band?
Sorry.
I honestly don't have as much of a problem as I know some of you guys do.
Is it that obvious?
Oh, I'm not saying anything, but I kind of notice every time that I hear the words Def Haven, it's usually followed by how much it's not liked.
I'll say...
My pictures of them came out pretty good, though.
I don't know if you happen to listen to it, Josh, but me and Sean the Metal Pigeon kind of got into it for a little while about Def Heaven because I went into Def Heaven blind without all of this hipster baggage that surrounds them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like black gaze stuff. I like black metal. I like that kind of down-tuned, shoegazy, post-metal kind of sound. I dig that stuff. And I thought that they were... okay. I think there's a lot of bands who do what they do, but a lot better. But going into them blind, I didn't have a big problem with them. So I guess I'm kind of there with you. Like, I can kind of take them or leave them at this point. I don't think they're amazing, but I don't think they're terrible. And if they're hipsters, I honestly don't give a shit. So,
yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. I mean, I really like that style of black gaze. And like you said, there are bands who do it better. Like for me, bands like Venet Viscar and Lantlos and other bands I'm blanking out on right now. But I like that style of incorporating the kind of shoegaze and post rock with black metal. And of course, Def Heaven is like the biggest name in doing that. But I just never really cared about the hipster element to it because I knew of them before they came out with the pink album cover for Sunbather. And I knew them from the first album. And that was my first introduction into black gaze. So. Here in that style, it's like I never really thought of it as like hipster until I was told by NPR that they are hipster, and then hearing everybody else hear about how angry they are that they're hipster.
It's not the music that I don't like. It's the way the guy delivers the vocals. I mean, it's fine for some parts of a song, but I think I said this before. It just doesn't work the whole time.
He's not the best.
No,
I don't think. But yeah, I mean.
All right, so let's start with our guest. This is the part of the show where we always talk about what we've been doing recently, what we've been watching, what we've played, all that good stuff. So what have you been into, Josh?
What I'm not too busy with the 23 hours of my day working on the radio show. The other hour of the day, I've been doing a lot more gaming on my PS4.
There you go.
I bought a whole bunch of games during Black Friday that I haven't had the chance to get into yet, so I've been trying to do a lot of catch-up with that lately. Because of you guys, I got turned on to Broforce.
Oh yeah,
a few weeks ago. I just beat that.
Wait, you didn't? Yeah, exactly right. You didn't say it correctly.
Broforce.
There you go. How far have you gotten in the game?
Rest in peace, bro. I beat the main missions. The solo missions, I've not made it past Brokeiver.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm... The solo stuff, it's... There was a lot of glitching that was going on with the PS4 version, yeah, where when you die and then you respawn, yep, there was a few seconds where it would glitch and would not let you move, and yep, that was killing me a lot, so I wasn't able to get further back.
I think they fixed that, because when I played the other night, that did not happen to me at all.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll have to go back into that then.
I got to the end boss. I got to the main devil character. I beat him the first time, and then the part where he turns into the, you know, spoiler alert,
he
comes back to life and you have to beat him again. That's the part where I haven't got past yet. Very difficult.
It's a very difficult. I love the alien portion of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Fits right well with our alien today.
Yeah, sure.
It starts off very simple, but then with every level, it becomes almost impossible.
Yeah. It's a fun game. I've been waiting for that game for like a year or two, man. When I saw it at PAX like last year. I'm like, when did it come into PS4?
Well, technically 2 years ago.
Two years ago, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Cool. What else have you been playing on the PS4?
The one that I'm playing right now, not the biggest fan, but I heard a lot of people talk about it, was the game The Evil Within. Okay. I've been trying to beat that lately.
That was the one from the maker of Resident Evil. Isn't that right?
I believe, well...
I think it was Silent Hill, or was it
Bethesda
Evil?
Was behind that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like one of the original Resident Evil writers or something was involved with it as well. I wanted to play that one, too. I'm a big horror game fan, but I never got around to playing that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the best horror game I've ever played, but there is some... It's a pretty fun story, and there's a lot of like startling moments. I wouldn't necessarily say scary stuff, but there's a lot of startling moments, and I know that's pretty popular in horror nowadays.
Yeah, the game was directed by Resident Evil series creator Shinji Mikami.
Okay.
Ah, there we go.
So would you say, I guess it sounds like it banks more on jump scares than creating like a haunting atmosphere, I guess?
Yeah, and that's really what I was hoping for. I was hoping that it had more of like that haunting atmosphere like Until Dawn does mm-hmm. for the PS4. But The Evil Within, it's more of like those kind of like Hostel, Saw kind of like scare tactics.
Horror porn type of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jump scares are cheap, man.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's my thought on that. Jump scares are cheap.
They're easy to do, too.
Yeah, and they're easy. But if you can actually creep me out, that's what I'm looking for in a horror experience.
Oh, yeah.
Like, make me feel unsettled.
Have you played Until Dawn yet?
Not yet, no.
Are you playing anything right now on the PS4?
I am waiting for Doom to come out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I pre-ordered mine the
Doom,
other day.
That's going to be so much fun.
Doom and my wife pre-ordered Battleborn. The guys who made Borderlands.
Okay.
So,
did anybody play in the multiplayer Doom beta?
I did not.
No, I didn't.
How was the multiplayer in that game?
So, for me, Doom multiplayer isn't really the important thing.
Yeah. You're buying it for the single player experience.
Yes, I am. I'm buying it for the campaign. That and on top of that, I don't play a whole lot of multiplayer.
I don't have time for it.
There's always that learning curve where you got to get used to all the little nuances, and when you're in there with people who have nothing else to do but play the game, and they're kicking your ass constantly.
If you stop playing, everybody's better than you, and you're way behind.
You got to get back on the curve or whatever.
It's not fun anymore.
Back in the days, I used to play, you know, Quake 2, Quake 3 online quite a bit, and I was pretty good at it. And I want Doom to be kind of like that really fast-paced. Yeah. This is like somewhere in between that and like a Call of Duty.
Really?
It's fairly fast-paced, and it's fairly acrobatic as far as like your mobility is, you know, clearly increased, and you have like a booster pack where so you can double jump and climb. You can make short climbs up walls. Like if you jump and there's like a ledge just above you, you can grab it and pull yourself up and all
but
that.
But I'm
kind
wondering
of thing.
How does that gameplay? Is it going to be like that in the single player? Because that's not going to be how I want.
From what I've seen, the single player is very fast paced, and it's very movement oriented, which Doom is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Doom is supposed to be high speed. You're supposed to stay moving and stay agile. It's how you stay alive. And it looks like
a lot of strafing.
Yes, lots and lots of strafing. And strategically planning your attacks on the fly.
Right.
Shooting from the hip, basically.
And yeah, and switching weapons constantly and all that kind of stuff. It looks like, from what I've seen, they've got that in the single player campaign, but I haven't played any of that yet. The game looks fantastic from the multiplayer experience. It looks really nice. It played pretty well. It wasn't like the greatest multiplayer thing, and it seemed like the reviews across the board were fairly meh on it. I know that on Steam in particular, it got fairly lambasted.
Really?
Yeah, the PC guys did not like it.
Oh,
so,
wow.
But I was playing it on PS4, so it was okay. But like I said, I'm really looking forward to the single player campaign. That's really
me too. It's supposed to be like 20 hours long.
I think it's like 13.
13?
Yeah,
that's still a long time for a single player game. It's good. It's narrative driven.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, what about you, George? What have you been into?
I've been flooded in my house.
Yeah.
When this past flood that came through Houston.
That's right. If you're not from Houston, the last week, starting like Sunday night, Houston got flooded in.
Yep.
Not me, but most of everybody.
Yeah,
else.
You were in Vegas.
I was gone.
It was out by my house. You can't even tell.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll show you pictures later.
Yeah,
my front yard was a lake.
Yep. So you spent a couple days at home, didn't you?
It was like 4 days at home.
Wow.
I had no power for the first day, and the power came on like Tuesday night or afternoon.
Wow.
And so I watched a lot of movies. I finished Ratchet and Clank. Y'all are all talking about
nice.
I love Ratchet and Clank.
Y'all talking about horror games, and I'm playing childish games.
No,
next.
That game is beautiful, dude.
Oh, it's awesome. I had a great time playing it. I've beaten
the first planet, like the intro level, but I plan to get back into it this weekend.
I never realized how hard those bosses were.
Mm-hmm.
They're freaking hard as hell. But yeah, I finished the game during my lock-in, and yeah, I'm going to call it a lock-in now.
Yeah. A flood-in.
A flood-in. There you go. I didn't really play much of anything else. I watched a crap load of movies that I've been meaning to watch or catch up on.
I wish I could do that.
And
what did you watch? Let's talk about it.
I watched a lot of older movies that I always wanted to see that I didn't get a chance to see, like Predestination with Ethan Hawke. I finally saw Ben-Hur, like the original.
Oh, wow. I've never watched Ben-Hur
either.
It is a tough thing to watch in one sitting. It's rough.
It's long, isn't it?
It's 4 hours long.
I was
going to
say, it's like
it
really 4 hours long.
Yeah. Jeez. That includes the overture and the intermission, though.
Wow.
But it's long. And Charlton Heston is not the greatest actor.
No, he's not.
But, you know, the it's a very epic grand scope movie. And that was fun to watch, I guess, at points.
Uh-huh.
I had to, like, stop it and do other things and come back to it. I saw Cooties with Elijah Wood and Rainn Wilson.
You're talking about that.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
I want to see that.
It's pretty funny.
So
it's a horror comedy about these teachers trapped in a middle school, and the kids got infected by chicken nuggets, and they're, like, cannibalistic rage monsters that's killing everything in their path.
Wow.
And it's awesomely
You
hilarious.
Had me at chicken nuggets.
Yep.
I want to see that. Where did you see it? Is it an HBO type of deal? Or?
I had to find it on Amazon.
Amazon.
So.
Okay.
What else have I been watching? I've been to the movies. I saw Jungle Book.
I wanted to see Jungle Book badly.
Dude, what's crazy is like when I watched it, I had to keep reminding myself that it's all green screen.
Yeah.
Like none of that stuff is real. But when you see it, like the trees and the grass and the branches that he's running on all look real.
Technology, man.
Dude, it was amazingly great CGI.
How was the I know I've heard it looked great. How was the story though? I mean, is it straight from the like the cartoon or
so I think they did a good mixture of adapting what Disney created, their version of Jungle Book, and taking like real elements from the stories of Jungle Book, because there's multiple stories of Jungle Book, and they kind of like mix it all together. If I had to say one thing I didn't like about the... Well, it's a couple things, actually. Two things I didn't like about the movie.
When Iron Man showed up?
Huh?
When Iron Man showed up?
Yes. He showed up and took the kid away. He's the Eagles for Mowgli. I'm having a blank. What's his name? Who did the King Louie? His name?
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken, thank you. They kind of forced that song in there that they do in the original Jungle Book, I Want to Be Like You.
So there's actual music in it?
That's one of the things I was wondering, too.
There's two songs in it. There's,
how does that
the
work?
The Bare Necessities with Bill Murray. Bill Murray steals a show. Like, okay. Bill Murray is the best character in this movie.
He's Baloo, right?
Yeah, he's Baloo. So the Bare Necessities fits, like, the way they work their way into it.
Okay.
The way they worked their way into, like, King's Louis song, I wasn't a big fan of it.
Oh.
But they redo the song again at the end. I just kind of wish they would have held it off for the credits.
Mm. I gotcha.
I'm not a huge fan of the kids acting.
Is it a kids movie or is it a...
No, it's very entertaining for adults to watch.
But do you think, is it marketed towards a kid?
Older children, because there's some pretty scary moments in there.
Okay.
I mean, there is a giant-ass tiger saying he wants to eat a kid. So,
yeah, but that's in the original as well.
Not as graphic, for what I remember. what else did I see? I saw Green Room with.
Really want to see Green Room
with. Emile Hirsch. Anton Yelchin.
And, I really like
Patrick
him.
Stewart.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart's always good. Dude. I like Anton Yelchin quite a bit.
So I had to give a 3-word review for that movie, and my 3-word review was. Punk infused mayhem is what I described it as. It's awesome. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
And how is Patrick Stewart? Is he like creepy or is he scary?
Probably like intimidating, maybe, but not scary.
He's intimidating in real life too. That's for sure.
Is he?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like it.
He was a comic palooza maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, and he was pretty intimidating.
He's intimidating? Like, told you to shut the fuck up?
Not me, but some people I know.
Really?
Yeah.
He told people were trying to shut the fuck up?
Some people were trying to film him. Ooh, he did not like that.
Oh, you like pointed at him like, you bitch!
Pretty much.
I can't imagine Patrick Stewart doing that.
He was pointing at him and go, I'm going to beam you out of here.
I've heard Brent...
Make it so.
I've heard Brent
Do not
Spiner,
make that so.
Do not make it so.
I've heard Brent Spiner tell the story about him where they were like out to dinner somewhere, and somebody came up to their table and said, hey, I don't mean to bother you. And Patrick Stewart said, then don't. No.
That's pretty awesome, though.
I don't mean to, but I'm going to do it anyways.
So,
between all those movies and the comic book stuff going on with Justin and I have been working.
Yeah, we're
going
to get into that.
Yeah, it's just, it's been a whirlwind of like, busyness for me.
I was very busy too. I had to go to Vegas for work.
Pity me. Work. I have to go to Vegas for work.
You went last year. You know how
I've done it twice.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
It was a fun trip. We went to the NAB convention, which
National
is
National Association of Broadcasters.
National Association of Broadcasters. It's anything you can think of for video, photography, audio, everything is there.
And YouTube now.
Yeah. It's massive. I mean, we were only in a little small part. We were over by Sony.
That's not the small. That's the big.
That's the big one. But I mean, there was like complete huge other like.
Well, they take
centers.
Up the whole convention center.
Yeah,
yeah, and the Las Vegas Convention Center.
I mean, it was a good time. I had fun working. I had a lot of fun talking to people. But I had a blast hanging out with some of my coworkers in Vegas. We went to some of the special parties. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Free drinks galore.
One night,
party your face off.
There's a brand called AJA, whatever you want to call it.
AJA.
That's what they prefer. They make converters, and they used to make cameras and things like that, but they threw a party at a club called Drace, which is like an indoor-outdoor club. There's like a beach club part of it. But when we got there, there wasn't many
people
there.
Did you bring your bikini?
I did not bring my bikini. nope. But when we got there wasn't that many people there, and one of my coworkers started dancing, and then within the hour, dude, the place was packed.
So y'all brought the party?
We brought the party.
Yeah.
So they had to open the outside area, and the outside area is really cool. It was set up like a beach, really. There was like a pool in the middle, and they had like cabanas in the side and all that. But there was no food, but there was definitely free drinks. After about my 11th Crown and Coke, I sort of lost count.
Don't you mean a Lemmy?
My Lemmy, yeah. Well, it was more than a Lemmy, because you know what a Lemmy is, right?
I think Lemmy is also specifically Jack.
Oh, Jack Daniels and Coke.
But
Sorry.
It's more a whole bunch of Jack and a little bit of Coke, like a splash of Coke.
That's the right way to make it.
Yeah. I bought a bottle of Jack Daniels for the house. We were staying in like this. We didn't stay in hotels. We stayed at a house. So we had an Uber everywhere around Vegas, which was fine. It's decent. But we also went to a sort of a heavy metal club, like almost the night before we left. If anybody is listening and they're from Vegas, there's a club called Count Vamped or something like that. It's, you ever seen the show called Counting Cars or something?
Yeah.
That's the guy who owned the club. Count.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen the show, but
I've seen it like once.
But the night we went, we're like, okay, let's, we looked to see what was going on. And it's like, we don't want to see a DJ. Didn't want to see that bullshit. Where's the real music? So this club had a free show that night, and it was a band called Sin City Sinners All Stars, right?
Okay, it's kind of a mouthful.
It is. So check this out. The lead singer is a guy named Jizzy Pearl.
Jizzy Pearl?
Jizzy Pearl. He's better vocalist than Jizzy McJizz, but he's... Do you remember a band called Love Hate?
Are you being serious right now? His name is Jizz?
Jizzy.
Jizzy Pearl. Jizzy Pearl.
He's actually a pretty good vocalist, man.
You're not joking.
I am not joking. He is now...
That's a real singer.
He's actually officially the
Why
current
would you
singer
keep
for
that
Quiet
your
Riot.
Name?
Blame his parents, maybe. Maybe his full name is Jizz Meister.
You're my little Jizz.
I'm willing to bet that's not his real name.
Sure I hope not. It's not.
Well, his porn name is Mike Jones, I believe.
Is it really?
He has a porn name, too?
You know, with Jizzy Pearl.
Oh. Yeah. So there's got to be some story about how he got the nickname of Jizzy. I don't want to know that story, but I'm sure it's out there.
He was doing a pearl necklace on somebody, and they called him Jizzy.
Apparently. So he was the vocalist of the band. The guitar player was Oz Fox, I believe. He was from, he's from Striper.
Is he the low-rent Ozzy Osbourne?
No, he's Striper. From Striper.
From Striper?
Striper.
Jesus.
Striper. And I gotta admit, dude, he's a badass guitar player, but Striper sucks. I don't know what it
did
is.
Did you tell that to him in his face?
I did not.
He might beat you with his guitar.
He might make me all yellow
or
and black.
Or he could have just like run out of breath getting off the stage.
Right?
He might tell you to go to hell.
I see what you did there. He would tell me to go to hell.
No, he wouldn't. He'd tell the devil to go to hell.
Yeah,
that's true.
And then
Ozzy Elver, super religious.
The main
Striper
guy
was a Christian,
was a
metal,
Christian
band.
Metal band.
Oh,
yeah, they used to throw Bibles in the crowd at their shows.
When I
really?
Was a,
that's like yeah. a
I was at a New Jersey Metal Fest like in 2001, 2002. I can't remember the year, but they weren't performing, but they were there walking around fighting a fake demon, a guy in a demon costume.
That's hilarious.
Freaking hilarious.
No, they had either an album or a song, I don't remember which, I never really listened to them, called To Hell With The Devil. Yeah.
Yes, that's their biggest song.
Yeah.
Was it any okay?
Yeah.
No?
It's straight up 80s cock rock. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you appreciate glam rock and with God lyrics, I mean, that's Striper in a nutshell.
I love me some Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. You heard it then.
Oh, is that how it goes?
Exactly how it goes. But the other guys in the band, I guess the band is started by a guy named Scotty Griffin. He was an original guy from L.A. Guns. He's been in a bunch of different hair metal bands. And the drummer was from Slaughter. Blas Elias.
Slutters?
Slaughter.
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 Remember Fly to the Angels and all that stuff?
No.
Up All Night?
Like the
Sleep All Day?
TV show Up All Night?
No.
George is so confused.
No.
He's like, what? He was born after the 80s. I'm sorry.
I was born in 1985.
See? Your parents probably got it onto that song.
I was born in 88, and I remember Slaughter.
You guys are fucking young, man. Come on. But, I mean, it was a great time, and they brought out the guitar player from Great White toward the end of the show. So it was a weird, eclectic lineup of songs. I thought it would be totally fucking, you know, like hair metal the whole night, but they started with Wasp. They went into Alice in Chains. They did fucking Jane's Addiction.
They were all cover songs?
Wow. Yeah, it was all cover shit. And they did, I was expecting them to do like Iron Maiden, stuff like that, but they never did. But they did play one song from each of their band. So they played a Striper song. They played Up All Night. They played the Love Hate song. What's it called? I can't think of the name of it. It was like their big popular song.
I'm not going to be able to help you on that one.
Oh, which band is that?
Love Hate. What was the name of that song?
Was he
if
looking
my girlfriend
at
was in the room, she would know the answer to
that name.
And they did a Never Enough from L.A. Guns, and they did some AC/DC stuff because of course they had to do Sin City because Sin City that's where we were.
Of course,
I saw a crazy rumor that what's his face is going to be singing.
It's not
Axl Rose. That's not a rumor, dude.
Shut
that
up.
That is
real?
Fucking true.
Yeah, it's real now.
It's real.
Yep.
That just sounds retarded.
We were watching TMZ last night, and they caught him in the airport. He's on his little scooter thing, and they're like, "So, what's your favorite AC/DC song?" I was like, oh, fuck.
And what did he say? What was his answer?
I don't even remember.
So this is a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real, like,
it's a real thing.
It's real.
I read yesterday that I don't remember where, but like the next handful of like upcoming dates, everyone who is upset that they're going to have to watch Axl Rose can get a refund for their ticket.
Yeah, I can't. I want a refund Axl already. Rose already. Going.
But I'm not a fan of AC/DC in the first place, so you know that.
At least AC/DC was tolerable. Now they're not going to be tolerable at all.
Well, maybe.
Josh, what's your take on AC/DC?
Well, I know that Guns N' Roses used to cover a whole lot of Rosie when they first started off, and I think the whole situation with Brian Johnson was like handled really bad by their PR. I mean, there was a better way they could have handled everything. So
he found out on the internet,
didn't
he?
Everybody was going to be pissed off about it, but they could have picked anybody but Axl Rose, and they picked Axl Rose. It just doesn't make sense to me. They could have picked any AC/DC tribute band.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It sounded great.
Yeah. They could have picked Bon Scott, like dug him back up and had him come back. Probably would have sounded better.
So I neither love nor hate AC/DC. I appreciate them for their significance to the history of hard rock and heavy metal. If they come on the radio, I'm probably not going to turn it off.
Not like Led Zeppelin?
Huh?
No, like Led Zeppelin.
What does that mean?
I turn them off.
Oh, no, I don't turn
Led
Zeppelin
off. He doesn't get
the
let out.
So, I do not.
I also don't own any AC/DC albums or t-shirts or anything like that.
You've heard Back in Black, the song, you've heard basically the whole Brian Johnson AC/DC catalog.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not missing.
Same drum beat. Trust me. Same drum beat. And I played that AC/DC Rock Band game. Same fucking drum beat.
That's why you hate AC/DC.
That's why I hate AC/DC, because I played him for fucking 8 months for 8 to 10 hours a day. Yeah.
Bet you
gotta make you hate any band.
Bet you sing that in your subconscious.
No. I do not.
Could you imagine if you like sleepwalked, you did like the dude on the guitar in your sleep?
I was a drummer, and I've bitched about this before. I think it actually was the Whole Lot of Rosie version on the album. There was seriously like a 6 or 7 minute like breakdown. So all you did on the drums was just hit the drum over and over and over and over. And if you stopped, you lost the game because you were in expert mode. Fucking annoying. Worst.
If you do any fill, you have to start from the beginning.
And pretty much. If you stopped hitting the hi-hat, you're done.
Yep.
Fuck. But yeah, AC/DC. Woohoo. Axl Rose. Woohoo.
It's like two voices I do not want to hear together.
It's nothing like peanut butter and chocolate. Those things go together.
What I don't understand is why would Axl agree to do this when he just got most of the original lineup from Appetite for Destruction back together? Why would he already be going out to help out AC/DC?
You mean his Guns N' Roses tribute band?
Guns N' Roses.
Because Axl Rose likes to have money.
Yeah, pretty much.
He needs to pay that scooter off.
Yeah. He has 18 more payments on that scooter.
I guess.
It's funny, actually, up here in Minnesota, they reported a fake story that they later retracted that AC/DC was going to be opening for Guns N' Roses on an upcoming world tour.
Mm.
That would have been hilarous. Yeah, open up for your old band.
Have you guys ever seen Guns N' Roses live or AC/DC?
No, I don't like Guns N' Roses.
I saw them live.
I'm not paying that much for it.
I saw them live in like 91 or 92. On that big fucking stadium tour with Metallica and Faith No More. It was at the Astrodome. So you know the sound was amazing in there.
Astrodome. Or echoey like, as fuck, probably.
We were like way far away, so you hear it echoed all the way around until it got to you. Yeah, that was fun. So I got to ask you this while you guys are on here. What's been your favorite concert experience ever? Let's start with Josh.
Oh, there's actually been quite a few of them. I would probably say the funniest one that happened to me personally was...
Don't say AC/DC.
I'm not spending $300 for nosebleed section, so right. There's no problem there. It was one of my first metal shows that I went to by myself at First Avenue, where Prince recorded most of Purple Rain. But it was Opeth, Devil Driver, and Dark Tranquility in 2006 when Opeth was touring behind Ghost Reveries.
Nice.
And wow. I wasn't too familiar with the Circle Pits at the time because I was just so used to not going to shows that I never thought I had to worry about that stuff. I thought that was just more punk and hardcore. I wasn't expecting that in an Opeth show.
Yeah.
But during Devil Driver, who I first discovered at that show, they told everyone to start doing a Circle Pit and they were going to be recording for a DVD. I got thrown right into the middle of the circle pit, and my face got smashed right into a PA, which was right up below a camera that they have, and I guess they did put that into...
Did you make the DVD
my face
cut?
Going face first into a PA speaker.
Okay, we got to find video of that. We got to see
so
that.
So did you make the cut?
Apparently I did. I never picked up the DVD. But
oh, man, you should.
People, it's like, yeah, were you at First Avenue? It's like, yeah. It's like, well, we just saw you get your head open on a PA speaker.
I got caught into a hate breed pit one time. It was a big show called Tattoo the Earth.
That sounds miserable.
I went to that.
Fuck. Were you there? It was in Pasadena.
I'm still mad at Tattoo the Earth.
I know.
Go ahead.
But I was like, oh,
I had a good time at that show.
I was like, look, hate breed's about to start, and all of a sudden, I was in the fucking circle pit from hell. I'm like, get me out of here! What the
I
fuck?
I really liked that one song that hate breed came out with back in the day.
I don't that remember. One song?
It was one song that I only
I do
liked
listen to
him.
His podcast a lot. I will admit that.
And I saw Amen on that show. That was a great show.
Sepultura was
Sepultura nice. And then
Slipknot.
And Slayer,
and Slayer
was the closer.
Slayer,
yeah.
And that was
Slayer
what
was
pissed
the
me off. No, they weren't.
Was the
Slipknot was the closer.
Really?
And that's what pissed that's why I'm still mad at that show is that Slipknot headlined.
I don't remember Slayer.
In their this was in Slipknot's kind of infancy too.
Yeah, this is their first album.
They headlined over Slayer and Sepultura, and I was like,
wow.
This is not okay.
Oh, and Mudvayne was there too.
Maybe
with
alphabetical order,
Mudvayne
so it's Sepultura, Slayer, and Slipknot. That's the only way it could make sense. Alphabetically ordered.
All right.
I'm going with that.
Okay.
That was my when Tattoo the Earth came out. That was my second time seeing Mudvayne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even remember them on the show.
Yeah. That's when he had
out.
The really long horse hair.
There were a lot of people
goatee.
On that show. It was like a full day festival.
It was.
Of,
remember Demon Seeds opened up? Do you remember that?
No.
Mike Haga from Dead Horse.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So what was your very first show, Dave?
My very first show.
Yeah.
I don't remember. My very first show was probably something like G3 or something equally like guitar wankery.
What year do you think it was your first show?
I was going to a lot of like local shows in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Because he's brutal like that.
He's brutal Dave.
And so I have no idea what was my first one of those. I can't remember. But early shows that I went to were things like G3 and like I saw Van Halen really early on with the... Gary Cherone.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And
that was extreme.
So, that's a funny joke, Gary.
I know.
I'm laughing at it.
But
extreme was an X, too, you know.
Yeah. So, I don't remember what my first show was. But as far as.
What's your favorite show?
Favorite shows?
To date.
Favorite. Man, I have been to so many shows. I've Me played too. A bunch of shows. So.
Ask the shows you played. Shows you see.
Shows I've attended. So, okay, so we're limiting it to shows I attended. Then, God damn it. That's really tough.
Come back to you?
I don't know. I've seen Opeth multiple times, and they're one of my favorite live acts.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them on Amarth multiple times, once within the past 2 weeks. And
yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
I didn't get to go to that one either.
That was an excellent show. They always do a good show.
Awesome.
I don't know, man. I have too many great concert experiences. I can't pick a favorite.
My very first metal show was Skid Row opening up for Bon Jovi, and we walked out on Bon Jovi so we can go find somebody to give us beer, and we did. That was probably not the smartest thing. We were like 13, 14. I felt bad.
I guess some of my favorite like concert experiences were more what was going on around. Right?
Sure.
Like, me and one of my best friends, I drove from Dallas to where he was in Arkansas.
Oh, I remember
and then,
the story.
And then we drove with a couple other people from Arkansas to Lafayette, Indiana to see Megadeth and Iced Earth. We had already seen Megadeth on the same tour like a couple weeks prior in Dallas, and then my friend won meet and greet passes. And they said, what's the next closest show to you? We'd already been to Dallas. The next closest show was in fucking Indiana.
Wow.
So we drove all the fucking way to Indiana
wow.
to see. And Iced Earth hadn't played with them in Dallas, but they were playing with them in Indiana. So that was really cool. Because so that was my first time to see Iced Earth as
oh,
well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What year was that?
Very nice.
That was 2002, probably. Probably about 2002. They were a supporting horror show at that time. Matt Barlow was still with them.
I interviewed them on that album for Mainstream Resistance back in the day.
Probably. I like that album a great deal. I know
it's a great album.
I know they kind underrated of too. Like John Schaefer doesn't like it that much, and it's one of my favorites. I love that album.
Phantom of the Opera is an amazing song. I think some of the biggest shows I went to, Clash of the Titans, was one of my favorite shows.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that show? It was.
I don't remember it, so, but I know.
It was like some little known band at the time, Alice in Chains. Yeah. Opened. It was Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax.
Right.
Amazing. Operation Rock and Roll Tour, which was, I go back and think about it now, I'm like, damn, it was a badass tour. It was, I think it was Dangerous Toys, Metal Church, it was Alice Cooper, Judas Priest, and somebody else. I can't remember who the other one is. Motorhead, that's who it was. I'm like, but my favorite show back in my early days of going to shows was Anthrax, Public Enemy, and Primus.
That's hilarious.
That was a fucking amazing show.
I'd love to see Primus. I've never seen Primus. Really? That's one I'd really like to see.
I love, they put on a great show.
They do. They're one of my favorite bands.
They were here recently, weren't they?
What?
Wasn't Primus here?
They're here last year. I went to their, they did like the entire Willy Wonka album in its entirety. It's great.
Unfortunately.
Ah, come on. Don't hate on Primus.
I do not like that album.
It's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad.
Okay.
All right. But my very first stage diving experience was at a Dead Horse show. And I actually lost a girlfriend over that, too.
Because you stage dove?
Because I told her I would not go into the pit. And I promised her. I was like, I did not go into the pit. I actually did a stage dive. Came to school the next day. I had a black eye. First and only time I've ever done a stage dive. And I actually, when I was at the drummer's house a few months ago, right before Bill's, you know, benefit, I told him that story. He laughed his ass off. He's like, yeah, we made a lot of people lose their girlfriends back in the day. I was like, probably in different ways, but yeah, definitely. Have you ever heard of Dead Horse, Josh? Are you a fan?
It was actually because of this show that I started checking out Dead Horse on YouTube.
Really?
And I've actually really been enjoying what I've heard from them so far.
Wow.
So I have to admit, I'm not familiar with Dead Horse either, but I'm also not originally from Houston.
Right, yeah.
So.
They were a Houston staple, man, back in the early 90s. Oh, my God. If you were into metal, you went to every Dead Horse show, and you went to every Gwar show. That was it. Every Gwar show at Vatican. What about you, George? We got to get your opinion now.
Best show that I've ever been to?
Better not be like some band like Fuel or something.
Fuel?
Fuel or whatever.
Like from the 90s?
Yeah.
I've never seen Fuel. All
right.
My very first concert, which was pretty awesome because I wasn't supposed to go, but mm-hmm. my friend had an extra ticket or someone dropped out, was the Family Values Tour in 1998. Okay. They went to...
Korn and...
It was Korn. Limp Bizkit was just starting out. Oh. Incubus was just starting out. Rammstein was there.
I think I remember that.
There's a couple other people that I don't remember.
Wasn't there one that had like Ice Cube on it?
No, that was much, much later.
Okay.
But that one was all rock. That was cool. That was my first time seeing Korn, and kind of made me a Korn fan from that show.
I liked them back in the day. Not so much now, but...
Yeah, I think I was a fan up till after Issues, and then I stopped listening after that.
I went to a lot of weird shows back in my early days of concerts. Like, I saw bands that I would never thought I would saw, like Violent Femmes, things like that. I went to a lot of Lollapalooza shows that I don't really remember that much. I remember seeing Body Count, though.
Doing all those drugs, man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what would be my favorite show, because like the funnest I've ever had was not at a metal concert. But if we're going to like keep it strictly metal...
But no, you can say what show. It doesn't have to strictly be metal.
Oh.
You can say it.
Probably the funnest time I ever had was Run the Jewels.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
I knew he was going to say that, too.
What about Meow the Jewels?
They didn't have Meow the Jewels at the time. But that was probably, like, one of the most insane concerts I've ever been to, because I literally thought the floor was going to, like, collapse from underneath us.
That's how I felt at the Anthrax and Public Enemy show when they all came back out and did Bring the Noise. That whole fucking place was, like, bouncing. You could feel the whole place just moving. Hey, the voice from the other room just walked in the door. Oh, see? That's the bark from the other room.
But yeah, Run the Jewels was amazing. Like the whole, it was like an hour and a half set that they had.
Yeah.
And like it was asses to elbows, and I had no room to put my hands down, so I just literally just rested on two people like this throughout the whole show.
I call those kind of shows nut to butt, because you can't move around anywhere.
I've stolen that from you, by the way. I use that.
When I saw Testament at a Scout Bar, it was like that. It was like you could not get anywhere.
And I literally thought like I was going to die from like suffocation or whatever, but
the band suffocation?
No.
Oh.
Not the band suffocation, but
the last show we saw Fear Factory, when I was trying to get over to where we were standing to the bathroom, you could not get through. It was pretty crazy.
Scout Bar isn't a real maneuverable place for a show of that size. When you talk about something like Fear Factory or Testament,
mm-hmm.
those bands are too large for
it's a great club. They have great sound there and great light and everything, but it's just it's a big club, but it's narrow.
It's very narrow.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a strange setup. The dog's just gonna bark all night, man.
Yeah. I really enjoyed seeing like Slipknot and Mudvayne for the first time when I was in high school. That was really fun. That was like my like first real like going on a concert on my own with like no true agenda, not knowing what I was going to get into till I got there, kind of deal.
Cool. So the voice in the other room is in here. What's your favorite concert experience ever? Come on, get on the mic. Oh,
that's a hard one.
That's what she said.
Either Devin Townsend
or nice choice.
I don't know. This Last Fear Factory with the D-Manufacturer, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Not reunion, but anniversary.
Yeah.
Brought me
20
back
years,
to,
right? Shit.
Yeah, it makes you feel a little, don't think about it. Don't think about it.
What was your very first concert? Don't say Metallica.
Yes, unfortunately, it was Metallica back in 1997. I was a little sheltered. My parents didn't like that type of music, so I had to pay my own concert ticket way.
Which is funny now, because now they play Metallica in like the grocery stores.
They do?
Yeah.
Like, you can buy Metallica shirts at Walmart and stuff. Yeah.
Like, where do you play Metallica in a grocery store?
Like The Unforgiven and shit like that, and
Nothing Else Matters.
Nothing Else Matters. There you go. It's weird to hear like shit that I grew up with in the grocery stores now. I'm like, hey, it's that More Than Words song from Extreme. The only ever popular song about a blowjob.
I'm sure there's other songs that are more popular about blowjobs.
I don't know. That one got, I don't know, maybe. I don't listen to a lot of rap, so I don't know. I don't listen to Run to Jewels.
They don't sing about blowjobs.
They don't. Yeah. They should. That's
they
right.
do have a song. Actually, I take that back. They do have a song about blowjobs now that I think about it.
So, Josh, what is your favorite concert experience ever besides Dopez?
Well, it's funny because I got a couple of these. I'm going to go with my first concert experience first, just because it was my first experience going to a show was actually Metallica. Although it was unfortunately on the worst possible tour that they could have done, it was Summer Sanitarium 2003
with Linkin
Park, Limp Bizkit, Mudvayne, and Deftones.
I remember that. I wanted to go to that show and I couldn't get tickets. I was upset.
And it's funny because I got there during the last three songs of Mudvayne, and Deftones was about to go on stage, and then they announced that they weren't going to be playing that show. But then a couple weeks later, Chino came out and announced that he was too high to be able to perform at the show, which is why they canceled it.
That makes sense.
Okay.
But my favorite experience, just to watch from the view, even though I don't like the band, was during Limp Bizkit when they first got on stage and Fred Durst like hit the center of the stage. This was at an old stadium called the Metrodome, which is now called U.S. Bank Stadium. It's going to be opening up, I think, this year for football and stuff like that. But from the very top of the stadium, people were jumping down from the stadiums and landing all the way down to the bottom of the stadium and knocking over porta potties that were in the stadium just so they could see Fred Durst.
Wow.
And that just made me realize that I cannot appreciate this kind of music if people are willing to knock over porta potties just to be able to see this guy.
I can never appreciate it. I actually, unfortunately, I've seen them live. It was at an Ozfest.
I've seen them live too. Yeah, twice, like, yeah. Actually, yeah, unfortunately.
No.
I avoided it.
I remember the one I saw them, I was like really far away because I didn't get up close. There was like a big giant toilet on stage. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty appropriate.
But for favorite experience, I'd probably have to say it was back in September when I went down to Atlanta, Georgia for Prog Power USA.
Oh, I've always wanted to fucking go there. I want to go this year, but fuck.
Unfortunately, the two main nights were sold out like in 9 hours.
I mean, you got fucking Devin Townsend headlining with Annika.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that.
Are you going this year?
Oh, yeah, I'm going all four days.
Fuck you. Fuck you very much.
Well, luckily, I have a girlfriend who's just as much into power metal as I am, so we were able to gather our funds together and hopefully afford to go every year. It's going to be like our yearly vacation together is going down the Prague Power.
That's awesome.
But it's kind of really special to me because last year the band Falconer did their last show ever at Prague Power. And
the Metal Pigeon loved the Falconer.
Oh, sorry. I cut out a little bit. What was that?
I said the Metal Pigeon, my co-host on MSRcast, loves the Falconer.
Oh, yes. I wasn't the biggest fan of Falconer until I met my girlfriend, and then once I started listening to them, I really loved them musically, and I like their vocal ability. But the day after they did their final show, I did their last in-person interview that they're going to be doing, so I hold that really close to my heart that I got to see their very last show, and I got to do their very last in-person interview that they're going to do.
That is very cool, man. Is that an audio interview?
Oh, yeah. I got it up on YouTube.
Oh, cool. I'll have to check that out. So let's take a quick break. Let's talk about our sponsor. You want to do that? I'm looking at you, Georgia.
Oh, you're looking at me?
You're looking on your phone.
Sorry. Looking at me.
I'm listening to my headphones. What are you listening to?
I'm listening to my headphones as well.
Awesome. Where'd you get them from?
From some fancy place.
What fancy place is that?
Some fancy place online.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's the name of that fancy place online?
You know that place.
You don't remember, do you?
I totally remember.
Then why aren't you saying it?
I'm just trying to make you say it is what it is.
Do I need to help you tweak it out of your memory?
No.
Okay.
Because I already knew that.
Oh, okay. What is it called again?
It's called tweakedaudio.com,
there
baby.
You go.
Bam.
Yeah.
I knew that totally, guys.
What can you do there? What can we offer our listeners at tweakedaudio.com?
I would hope headphones.
Yeah? What kind of headphones?
Some awesome headphones.
Amazing headphones.
Yeah. Lifetime guarantee headphones.
Yeah?
And
what
then,
if I'm cheap? What if I want to get a discount?
Some free shipping headphones.
Free shipping headphones.
Yeah.
All right.
33% off headphones.
Oh, yeah. Even better.
33% off headphones?
Yeah.
What if I want the full headphones?
Well, you would have to talk to somebody about that.
Okay. I could do that.
Yeah. Carrie will take care of that for you.
Me?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Do you know another guy named Carrie? Because I don't.
No.
Exactly.
Not anybody cool like me that buys Tweaked Audio headphones. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you get 33% off, Carrie?
You put in the code.
What code?
I'm going to ask you, what's the code?
Is it Metal Geeks?
Is it?
It is.
It is.
I was just trying to lead on the question thing I was doing from earlier.
You are correct, sir. If you go to tweakedaudio.com, and anytime you buy any kind of the headphones guys are really cool. I use mine every day, and I accidentally broke one when I was going to work, and they replaced it within 2 days for free. Lifetime guarantee. Great company to work with. The sound quality is great. They actually are really comfortable in your ears. When I go for a run, they don't fall out at all, and you don't get, you know, when you have headphones in your ear, like earbuds in too long, it gets really uncomfortable. Never with these. Like the iPhone ones that you're using right now probably are killing your ears, right?
They do after a while. But yeah, the Tweaked Audio ones are fine.
I'm comfortable as hell right now. So yeah, go to tweakedaudio.com and be comfortable as hell too.
And save some money.
And
help out the show.
Back to the scheduled program now.
Boom, 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 boom.
How was that, man? How was your first experience on a live sponsor?
I don't think he knows.
Are you there, Josh?
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were just talking to me or not.
He was so amazed by it. He was speechless.
So yeah, I was just like listening in awe, and it's like, yeah, I want to go to Tweaked Audio and see what that's all about.
You should,
I'm always
man.
Looking for some good headphones and or earphones.
Yeah.
I mean, they actually have ones that have the you can use on your phone too with the inline.
Yeah.
Too. Nice.
Very cool. And like I said, if you put in that code Metal Geeks, you'll save 33% off your entire order.
That's definitely a great deal.
Lifetime guarantee.
And
free shipping.
So let's talk to Josh now that he's on the show before we get into some topics. How did you get into heavy metal, and why did you start your own radio show on the internet?
I'll try to do the shortest version of this because I could easily make about four or five episodes of Metal Geeks long about the whole experience, but I'll try to narrow it down.
Well, we could keep recording. We just walk away if you want.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, right. If you guys want to come back next week and record the next show, that'll probably work. But it was about sixth grade. My brother-in-law at the time was a huge Metallica fan, and Metallica was coming. I think it was for Summer Sanitarium 2000 when it had like Kid Rock and System of a Down, and I think it was Seven Dust on there too. I think that was the bill at the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he was going to that show, and my parents wouldn't let me go with him, even though he asked them nicely to let them go with me. But he gave me a copy of S&M and Garage Inc. from Metallica. So that was like my first experience with metal. And wow. I was way more into Disc 2 of Garage Inc., which was more of like the 80s covers that they were doing at the time, like the Misfits, the Diamond Head, all of that stuff. I gravitated to that stuff a lot more.
Like the Garage Days revisited
hearing their version of Tuesday's Gone and stuff like that. And I became obsessed with Metallica in high school all the way till the end of sixth grade into seventh grade when I finally saw Metallica at the Metro.
And then you weren't a fan anymore.
It basically came down to three syllables. Saint Anger is what drove me away from Metallica.
Yeah.
It's funny because I went with my mom to Target and picked it up the Friday that came out. And I remember that being special because CDs weren't coming out on Fridays then. And by the end of the first song, she never had a problem with any music I listened to. But by the end of Frantic, she just looked over at me and says, "Do you really like this stuff?" And I just looked back over and said, "I don't know anymore."
You know how I knew that album was going to be terrible? The day it came out, the Dallas Morning News newspaper gave it an excellent review.
Uh-oh.
And I went, "Oh, this is going to be some shit then. This is going to be garbage."
Right? It's funny because I gave the CD eventually to my older brother, and he says, "Oh, this sounds like Slipknot. I'm going to love this."
Oh.
And it's like the only Metallica album he likes. So, oh, there you go. It definitely has that nu metal kind of sound to it. But after I got out of Metallica, but I slowly started getting back into Metallica later on, but for a long time I wanted nothing to do with Metallica because of Saint Anger. So I started looking online and I went to like different forums and saying, "I liked Metallica, but I'm not digging what I hear from Saint Anger, so what are some band recommendations?" And there was two that came up for me was Dream Theater and Opeth. And I gravitated way more to Dream Theater first because it had the proggy time signatures and incorporated a lot of styles I was enjoying at the time.
Very Metallica. A lot of Metallica riffing in that band.
Oh, yeah. And it came out during their album Train of Thought, which is the most Metallica Dream Theater album.
You're making me feel old.
it's like I really gravitated towards that. And then with my drumming, I actually was able to learn that entire album note for note. And I wanted to find more bands like that, so I started gravitating more towards the prog side. But then when I tried going towards Opeth, I loved the instrumentation, but I hated the growling and the screaming at the time because I never heard anything like that before, and I thought at the time it was ruining the instrumentation of it. And I believe the album that I got first was Deliverance, which was usually considered the heaviest Opeth album. But then about 6-7 months after I bought it, so I put it back in, and I wanted to give it one last chance, and it finally started clicking with me. And I was able to understand why Michael Akerfeldt was using the vocal techniques that he was, and I was able to start appreciating the darker side of music as well. And I like using the Dream Theater and Opeth examples because with the Dream Theater, it's a lot lighter than Opeth, so with my taste, like I can go from the power metal and progressive metal all the way into even some pop rock, and because of Opeth, I can get into the death metal, the black metal, the grindcore, all of that stuff. And if it wasn't for Metallica putting out Saint Anger, I never probably would have discovered any kind of metal that was off the radio.
Wow.
And because of all of this, when I was finding my music recommendations, I was using a lot of social media because I never heard any of my friends I was going to high school with listening to these bands. It wasn't until much later I realized that was a useless endeavor because they weren't going to listen to anything that was off the radio to begin with. But I was posting a lot of stuff about these bands that I was discovering, and all of a sudden this one station out of Wisconsin, when I was living at Wisconsin at the time, noticed that I was posting a lot about rock and metal and said, "Hey, you know your shit about rock and metal. Would you like to host your own hour-long show on my station? And I thought, well, I've never actually done anything like this before. I'm not sure how I would even go about it. And about a couple weeks later, I finally was able to do my very first show, and I was scared shitless doing it because I never spoke in front of a microphone before. I thought I was just going to ruin everything. And listening back to that very first episode, I did. But I was able to put together a good playlist for the show for my different varieties, from Texas bands like Fair to Midland, all the way to Trypticon. I played a really good mix of like all the stuff that I normally like. And I was able to keep that show for 29 episodes. It was an hour-long show called That Drummer Guy's Rock Block, a name I did not come up with, a name that was given to me for the show, The Rock Block Park. I already had the That Drummer Guy part. That's a different story I can get into after this.
That's a branded name, too.
Oh, sorry?
You're That Drummer Guy branded. Oh, copyrighted, yes. And branded.
Oh, yes. Almost done with it. About 29 episodes into my show, the station went under. But one of these affiliates of the station went to me and said, I really like what you're doing. I can get you a 2-hour weekly show and get you syndicated across the country. So I thought that was really cool and be able to like keep doing what I'm doing. And I still have one of the stations that originally had me out of Casper, Wyoming, which is on FM, which is why my show is predominantly clean for the most part, because I still have an FM affiliate along with Metal Onslaught Radio and one other station that also airs it through the internet. But from there, I was able, that affiliate was able to line me up with my very first interviews with bands I wasn't necessarily the biggest fans of, but it was a great way to get into it. Bands like Kitty and Decapitated.
And, I like Decapitated,
from
not
there,
Kitty.
I was able to learn that if I can interview bands that I'm not the biggest fans of, I can probably interview the bands that I actually am.
There was only one band ever in my career where I basically had to say, no, I'm not going to interview them. And that was Nickelback.
Guns N' Roses.
No, Nickelback.
Oh, really?
Oh, Nickelback.
You had a chance to interview Nickelback?
When they first came out on Roadrunner? And I was like, no.
Dude,
I guys,
should have totally interviewed them. It's like, why are you guys?
Yeah, I did an interview
so
with Cold
dick.
Chamber, okay? Who's Cold Chamber?
I know who Cold Chamber is. Did you tell them they were too loco? That's what I would have told them.
They are. They're. I told them that there wasn't a big enough truck for me to do it.
Was the roof on fire?
Yeah, the roof was on fire. I was going to let that motherfucker burn.
Burn, motherfucker. Yeah. Burn.
Wow.
Yeah, I unfortunately know that.
Yeah. Oh, we all know that.
I remember that Cold Chamber CD.
Yeah. It was it. Yeah, I'm not going any further than that. Saying, yeah, I remember that.
That was a dark time.
That was a very dark time. I saw them live a very few times. That was very
I've
dark.
Never seen them live.
Ozfest, maybe, or something else. I don't remember. All right, moving on. No more Cold Chamber talk.
Oh, yes. One band that has never offered me an interview, and I'm okay with that. But, just continuing on with my show that I have now, That Drummer Guy Presents. Basically, just the whole idea of my radio show is just to promote the music that I really love that I don't hear enough people talking about. Yeah. Sometimes that could even be a top 40 rock band that's not getting recognized. Sometimes it's a brand new Minnesota band. Sometimes it's bands across the country. And across the globe as well, of all these different styles. And I've pretty much realized that I'm not afraid to enjoy what I enjoy. I mean, if a song is kind of poppy while still rocky, I can enjoy it. If it's grindcore, I can still appreciate it. And
I feel the same exact way, dude. A good song is a good song no matter what it is. Don't feel embarrassed or ashamed about what you enjoy.
That's what I tell these guys all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you wear Run the Jewels on your sleeve, man.
That's right.
I listen to them in your car. They're good.
Yeah, they are enjoyable.
I can deal with that shit.
I made listen to some other stuff, too, like Death from Above 1979.
I don't remember that one.
I think you called them, like, Clash-esque is what you called them.
Okay, that makes sense. Clashes.
That's a good description.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, we all like different types of music. I mean, I'm a, you know, big power metal guy, and one of my favorite bands, no shame here, I love the Monkees. Seen him many times. Gonna go see him again in June, so.
I'm a huge Counting Crows fan.
I know, like, that's weird.
A huge Counting Crows fan.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't be ashamed of what you
know. I always get their songs mixed up with the Black Crowes for some reason.
No.
I do. I have that problem too. Like, every time I think it's the Black Crowes, it's actually Counting Crowes and vice versa.
Mr. Yeah. Jones, right?
Mr. Yeah. Jones is Counting Crowes.
That's you, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Jones and you.
Yeah, and me.
Yeah. I figured that much.
Yeah.
What's your favorite band of all time, George?
My favorite band of all time?
Yes, that's something that people might not know. Either.
I have no idea.
Huh? What about you, Josh?
It comes down to two for me. My favorite band of all time is Dream Theater, but my favorite musician of all time is Devin Townsend.
Oh, fuck yes.
Did you just become best friends, Karen?
Did you say Martha? Yeah, Devin Townsend is a living fucking legend. Yeah, I cannot wait for the new album to come out.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be fantastic. And I've over the years, just because of my love for Devin, I've become really good friends with his drummer, Ryan Van Puteroyen. In fact, he was actually my very first interview when I tested myself just to see if I could even do interviews, if I could do it without it turning into the Chris Farley show when he interviews.
Hey, you remember that show you played? You remember that?
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool. Well, okay.
Do you remember when you played on Accelerated Evolution?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Do you remember when you played in my hometown? Oh, no, not really. It was cool, man. Yeah, I'm a big fan of his drum style, man. He's really cool. Anybody knows I'm a huge Devin fan. He's in my top five artists of all time, of course.
Yeah, I mean,
but there can only be one number one.
Who's number one?
I don't know. You tell me.
I would probably say Devin.
Okay, there you go.
Number one?
I'll shut the fuck up then.
Number one in the hood, G. Probably.
Yeah,
I don't know. So what band that you really enjoy that people don't really know, that's your closeted shame band?
My closeted shame band? Oh, that's actually kind of hard for me because I know most people have guilty pleasures, but I've never felt guilty about any of the music I've ever liked, and that
good man
goes all the way back. I used to catch a lot of shit for loving MC Chris so much because I would say that's probably the closest I could think of.
But he's number one on the hood, G.
I don't think he did that song.
No, I know.
No, he didn't do that one.
It's nerdcore, so yeah. I was just going along with it. Mm-hmm. That's cool, man. You like
you ever listen to Optimus Rhyme?
I've never heard of Optimus Rhyme.
That's another nerdcore
band. That's funny.
Yeah.
I've seen some nerdcore going to PAX for the past couple of years. I've seen nerdcore bands.
Yeah.
What's that, the bald guy? What's his name?
I don't know. You have to be more specific.
He was in that. There was that documentary about the indie. Do you remember that bald guy that was at PAX, the rapper guy? He was like a douche to me at one point.
MC Frontalot?
MC Frontalot. There you go. Yeah. He was fronting a lot.
I don't know who that is. Sorry. You know? No.
There was a documentary that was on Amazon or Netflix for a while about indiecore band music, and he was in it.
Cool.
Yeah. So.
Faux shizzle.
No shame in your game here, man.
Yeah. I tell you guys what I like, and you're like, ugh, really?
Speaking of, you know what time we know what it's time for?
Oh, no.
It's George Hayes Metal.
I don't even remember what the fuck we listened to.
We listened to two things, right? So we're going to... One of them, I was like, I can't even deal with this one too much. Okay, so the first one, we had a stack of CDs, right? And we had George go to it blind with his eyes closed and just pick one out, and we all had to listen to it.
Yeah, it was a blind box CD pick.
So the band you picked was Sirenia. The album was called Perils of the Deep Blue from 2013 on Nuclear Blast Records.
Cool.
Oh, yes.
What did you think of this album, George?
So we listened like two tracks, right? It sounded like an operatic mess with repetitive guitars.
Okay.
Is
that sounds about right?
I mean, I'm a big fan of Epica, and they do it right. But
this is like a genre of music unto itself, almost. Like, yeah. It's like...
operatic, it's, symphonic, with death vocals.
And with a female operatic a vocalist as well. And I remember when that album came out, and I listened to a little bit of it then. I'm not a huge fan of that subgenre of music. I don't have anything against it. It's just not what I listen to a lot of the time. This is a completely forgettable performance.
It's a metal geeks first, where we all agree on the same band.
But we listened to something right after that that we all enjoyed, right?
Oh, we did?
The Eson album, the brand new Eson.
I wasn't paying attention to what you were playing.
Holy crapola.
That's my favorite thing right now.
Yeah.
Is that new Eson album.
What are they called?
Eson?
Arctis.
What's the name of the album?
Arctis.
Arctis. Do you know what band he used to be in?
No. Should I know?
I do.
Look at Dave.
I can't.
He can't read my shirt.
I can't read your.
You can't read the logo, dude.
Shirt.
Dave is wearing an Emperor T-shirt right now.
Sure, that's what that says.
Yeah. Emperor.
Emperor.
Can't you tell?
No, I
cannot.
There's
an E. There's an M P E R O.
It looks like a dude on a horse. That's what it looks like.
It's death. Death on.
Death riding a. It's a dead horse, dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep staring at Dave's chest for that much longer.
That's okay.
Anymore.
He's looking. He's looking at that logo pretty hard.
It's okay if it's an Emperor shirt.
That's right.
It's okay if it's an.
It's Emperor not gay shirt. If it's an Emperor shirt.
So the band used to be called Emperor.
No.
Eson was the lead vocalist and songwriter for that band.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Eson. What does Eson mean?
That's it's his stage name.
Stage name, yeah.
Oh, so he just used his own name.
He's gone by this name.
If you're in a black metal band, you don't go by.
Yeah, you don't have a real person's name if you're in a black metal band.
Yeah, because then like people know your true identity and might burn your house down.
Well, and because what do they call your proper name? They call it your Christian name, and they can't have that.
That's true.
They need to have a metal name.
That's right.
Especially when you're when you're Varg Vikernes and your real name is Christian. Yeah, like that's not going to fly.
Like, this guy's name is Christ. We don't like it.
I hate religion. My name's Christian.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So yeah, Eson was the front man and one of the primary songwriters for Emperor. He has gone on do multiple projects.
Probably what, fifth or sixth?
This is sixth or seventh.
So he's like the Dave Grohl of metal.
I guess. I don't know. I don't understand that analogy. I guess
Dave Grohl does a lot of side projects.
He does. That's true.
Okay.
Not really.
Really? You're kidding me.
Meh.
But
Probot. That's a good album.
I have that album.
I know.
Because of you, actually. Yep.
But I like Eson a great deal, not just from his work with Emperor, but because of his whole approach and philosophy to songwriting and music in general, that he is unafraid to experiment and do things that are unorthodox in metal. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this a great deal because
saxophone.
Saxophone in an extreme prog metal album. Yeah.
Yet has anybody put Cat Sounds? No.
Probably.
Not brave enough.
I wrestled a bear once, I think they did.
Maybe. And there was a band, Hatebeak, that actually used birds.
Yeah, I remember that.
K9S.
I never heard of that one.
It's a grindcore project that has two Rottweilers as the lead singers.
Great.
That's awesome.
They can never tour because their attention span is so short.
But I was thinking about this because I had a friend of mine on Facebook. I posted a song from this new Eson album earlier today, and he was like, "I really like this, but I don't know anything about metal." And he, you know, he'll tell you the only stuff he knows about metal is the stuff that I have told him. But he's really open minded about it, and he asks intelligent questions a lot, and so I like talking metal with this guy. And so he was like, "What is it about this guy?" And so I've been thinking about Eson today, and one of the things that struck me is this idea of him using these unorthodox sounds in his music, this very experimental approach. And it's like, man, metalheads are, oddly enough, a really conservative tribe of people. Like, as a whole, metalheads are very resistant to change. They're very resistant to experimentation.
A very old man about it, very crotchety.
Yeah. We like everyone wants to keep their subgenre pure and be really elitist about it and shit. But you have to have people who do this kind of work, who do the stuff that Eson does, that to move the music forward. And anybody who wants to defend their favorite subgenre, whether it's doom metal or black metal or thrash or whatever, that shit came from somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's how the music progresses. So
don't be afraid to try new shit.
Exactly.
If you fail, you fail. Just move on and do something different.
But, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, even the backing band that Eason has picked out for his solo albums have made it big, which is Leprous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes,
which are awesome as well. Yeah,
fantastic band.
Oh yeah, I mean, I can't say enough good things about this new Eason album. Really, I cannot. I mean, the last one I wasn't that much of a fan of. It was a little out there, which he's known to do. But
I don't know. I guess that's how you push the boundaries.
But the song you were talking about earlier. The guitar tone, the riffing, everything, it sounds like an 80s hair metal band.
Yeah, the song is Until I Too Dissolve, and it's the main riff to it is very a very 80s arena rock metal sound to it. But of course Eason does it in a way that only he could, because once the song starts and you're like, this is weird, this is like Motley Crue style, but then once the song proper starts, it's nothing like that at all. I've been listening to this album, I guess, for about 2 days now, and I've listened to it probably 4 or 5 times, I guess, at this point, and every time through I keep finding new stuff to like about it. It's really good.
Contender for top of the year?
I don't know about number one, but it's probably going to go on my list by the end of the year. And that's the other thing I was thinking about today. 2016 so far, Jesus Christ, dude.
Good.
There's been a lot of good metal releases already this year.
Yep.
And we thought 2015 was good. 2016 is shaping up really well. So
as I pull out my Swallow the Sun album.
Yeah.
I finally got the 3-disc version of it.
What are you swallowing?
The sun.
Not your son, but the sun. So let's talk about our favorite. This is turning into a complete only metal episode, which is I'm fine with. So what has been your favorite releases so far of the year, that off the top of your head?
This new Eason.
Voice from the other room is over here going, Bortnagar.
I haven't really listened to the new Bortnagar yet. I've heard really good things about it, though.
Oh, yeah.
The new Megadeth album is surprisingly good.
Agreed.
And couldn't have come at a better time. They needed a good one.
They did.
Megadeth.
When I interviewed, I hosted the Q&A panel at Comic Palooza last year with Dave Ellison, and he mentioned, our next album's going to be super heavy, and it's going to be super good. I'm like, okay, you said that about the last one, too.
Yeah.
Okay. But he was right.
Yeah, it's really... I was comparing notes with Sean Metal Pigeon on it, and he wrote in his blog that he thinks that this might be a top 5 Megadeth album of all time. Like, it belongs in the top 5, and I think I agree with him.
I agree with him on that one.
Because I went, after it came out and I listened to it a couple of times, I went back and listened to the entire Megadeth catalog from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Megadeth is a high contender for probably my favorite band of all time, and things have looked dire for them several times through points in their history, and I think I agree with Sean. I think this is a top 5 Megadeth album. Surprisingly good stuff.
Wow.
So that's been really good, man. What else? There's been a lot of great stuff. I'm trying to
New Amon Amarth.
The New Amon Amarth is really good.
I actually listened to that today.
It's cool.
What do you think of it?
Not what I thought was going to be.
It's a concept album, isn't it?
About it is.
Being a Viking.
Yeah,
it took a little getting used to, but once I got into it, it's enjoyable. It's fun. Probably nothing I'd like.
It's not their most catchy album, like song by song, but overall, it's a really great album.
I only heard 2 tracks, so.
I think there's some of your standard hooky Amon Amarth fare in there, but I really like 1000 Burning Arrows, mm-hmm. which is kind of a more chilled out song on there, and it's about their leader who dies, and they're giving him the proper like Viking funeral or whatever. It's kind of a chilled out song for Amon Amarth, but it's a really great moment in the album, and
so let me ask you, Josh, you're a big fan of Dream Theater. What do you think about The Astonishing?
This will take a little bit of explanation, but the Friday that it came out, I was moving into a brand new apartment, and I didn't have a chance to really listen to it for probably about a week after, because I was still moving. And that's strange for me because being such a Dream Theater fan that I am, I usually go out of my way to listen to Dream Theater as soon as possible. And when I heard the first two singles, I just thought to myself, well, I want to hear these in an album context because I know this is supposed to be a concept album. Right. I can't really judge it until I hear the whole thing. I've only been able to listen to the entire thing once, and I really forced myself to
do it. I can't get through it, man. I really can't get through it. I was talking to somebody at work a couple weeks ago, and he's like, what do you think of the new Dream Theater? I'm like, I can't force myself to get through the album. It's hard. It's just too much.
I haven't attempted it yet. So.
There's way too many ballads. It's about like nine-tenths ballads, and then they have one metal song. The rest is just a ballad.
So okay, so I'm looking at the Wikipedia of what albums came out the first part of the year. The new Anthrax album for me, For All Kings, I love this album.
I haven't listened to it yet.
So good. Speaking of like Megadeth putting out like a top album of the year, first couple times I listened to it, I'm like, oh, this is really good. And then I listened to it too much for a while.
Yeah.
And you get burned out a little bit. My wife's agreeing.
The voice from the other room says, yes, Carrie listened to it way too much.
But now it's like, it's hit that sweet spot for me again. The new Omnium Gatherum.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking amazing.
Their best album so far.
Best album so far. I think when I was talking to Sean about it, they finally hit that point in their career where their talent has matched up with their songwriting skills, and it's not all trying to be, I think before they were trying to be too much, you know what I mean? They're trying to push it over the edge, and it never really quite worked for them. But that time in Insomnium that the lead guitar player played, it's really helped their songwriting style, because Insomnium knows how to write a good, catchy, you know, metal song. That's it. That's all you need.
This is a band that I haven't listened to much really in the past. I'm not real familiar with them, but I listened to that new album, and it's really, really good. Really good.
So I'm looking at the list. So Amon Amarth had a new album out. The new Metal Church, dude. Have you heard the new Metal Church?
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah.
That is really fucking good. Mike Howe.
I was not expecting that to be as good as
me either, man. I mean, Mike Howe hasn't been in a band in like 16 years, something like that. And he probably could have spent a little bit more time getting his vocals up to par. But that is a really catchy, thrashy album. It's like, if you love 90s thrash that was really catchy, that's what you're looking for. What came out in April? Eason?
Yeah. We've already talked about that.
I haven't heard a lot in this month. The new October Tide is really good. Oceans of Slumber, have you heard of
that? Yeah, very good.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my god, dude.
That's number two for me right now.
Really?
Yep.
If you know, let me know if you ever want to interview those guys. I can get it set up for you.
Anytime. I tried talking to Central Media through there, but they were just about to get right on tour, so they didn't have time to do an interview at the time. But yeah, if they're up for it, I'm totally up for it.
What about Baby Metal? I'm not going to even say it all.
Baby Metal.
No, Oceans of Slumber are, I think they're the biggest thing out of Houston right now. They are going to break big. I think it's probably going to be the biggest thing Central Media puts out this year. They have this ability to reach every kind of audience, you know what I mean? And everybody in the band is really super cool. I've known the drummer Dauber for over 20 years. It's been a long time. I feel old now, but yeah, he's a phenomenal drummer, and he finally got the band that he always wanted. And it's weird coming from Houston. You couldn't be prouder of these guys, you know what I mean? And girl. But yeah. Oceans of Slumber, amazing, amazing.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know. What about you, George? What's your favorite metal album of the year?
I have no idea.
Don't say Emperor.
I wouldn't know.
Okay. Cool, so let's move on to some topics before we head out.
Yeah. All right. You want to talk about what happened with Belphegor?
Let's talk about that. I haven't watched it all yet, but...
Josh, did you hear about that? Read up about what happened with Belphegor in Russia?
This is actually one that I've only heard the headline about because I've just been so busy in the past week that I just knew something happened in Russia, but I'm not entirely sure what happened yet.
All right, so I actually watched the video that they released, and so apparently there's a conservative religious group in Russia that was protesting Belphegor and Nile. And oh, I remember, I couldn't remember earlier, Melikesh was the other band.
Okay.
And they were protesting these tour dates that these bands were playing. And so in this video, it's in the airport in Russia. I don't remember what city they're in. But what's the dude's name from Belphegor? He goes by a stage name in that proper black metal fashion. I can't, I'm afraid I can't remember what it is right now, though. But anyway,
death.
And so he's coming off, you know, he's coming through the terminal, and this dude, he's a pretty big dude, is there as a protester, and he's got somebody else there with him filming. And he gets up in his face, and I don't understand anything they're saying to each other. I'm not sure they understand anything they're saying to each other. But at one point, the protester spits in the guy's face.
They can understand that.
And wow. He spits back and bows up. And Carl Sanders from Nile steps in between them and pushes them apart. And he's telling, and you know, they're surrounded by road crew and band members and all this kind of stuff. And so he's like, okay, band guys, everybody who's here with us, y'all start going this way. And he's pointing the other guys like, you need to go away. Just back off. Leave us alone. And so basically the whole rest of the video is them walking through the airport and this guy trying to get up on him. And a couple of times he puts hands on some of the road crew members, like he grabs a couple of them, and the whole time Carl Sanders is trying to stand between him and everybody else, just trying to kind of keep the peace. Mm-hmm. That's basically the story, is they finally get away, they get on their bus and drive away, but right before they do, the guy grabs Carl Sanders, and Carl Sanders is like, you want to do this? Let's go. Like,
he's
snaps.
A big dude, too.
Yeah. And
so, were these guys waiting for them to get off the airplane?
They were waiting for them.
Oh.
Yeah, they were waiting for them. They were there to protest them, because they don't want them to play.
I'm sure Dave Mustaine probably wouldn't want to play either.
Probably not with Belphegor, but... Carl read the scene and he knew what was going on, and what they were really trying to do was they were trying to incite the guy to take a swing at somebody so that they could arrest them. That was like the whole kind of setup. They were trying to create a scene so that they could arrest these guys. Unfortunately, as it turns out, the protesters eventually got their way, and they've had multiple Russian tour dates canceled on them.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So
sucks.
Yeah, it does.
So was it Helmuth?
Yes.
Helmuth.
Helmuth, yeah, that's the guy.
And, not his real name.
But
he goes by Helmuth?
Helmuth.
All right.
So yeah, that really sucks. But
it might be his real name, because it's Austrian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It sounds like a drink almost. Like something you order from a bar. Yeah, like barkeep, can I get a Helmuth?
Helmuth would be pretty good. It has like cream de mint in it, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah.
The blood of your enemies.
The blood of your enemies.
But
mint and blood is always a good combination.
I had the privilege of meeting Carl Sanders in the past. Really nice guy. At least he was to us. He was very friendly.
To anybody else, but
I didn't see it. But he was really really nice to us. And he's always struck me, both from meeting him and from reading interviews and stuff like that. The guy just seems like a professional. He just seems like, you know, he takes this seriously. I mean, he's having a good time, but he's just there to do his job and have fun. And I have a lot of respect for the guy, just kind of as a person. He seems like a pretty decent dude. And so, you know, I salute him for trying to defuse that situation and for having the presence of mind to see what was going on.
It's an awkward situation.
Yeah,
it
is.
For sure.
Yeah.
He probably thought about it too. Like, you were in fucking Russia. The laws are not the same here.
Yeah. So it just totally sucks that the dickheads got their way in the end and they had their shows canceled. And also, Helmuth was on Facebook. He was talking about how they did get to play at least part of one show, I think, maybe two, but they were like severely edited. Like, he was told that he couldn't perform vocals on specific songs because of the lyrical content and all this kind
of
stuff.
Like the 60s
so
again.
Just a reminder that there's still a lot of progress to be made in the world, I guess.
So it's like the television show all
it's
over.
Putin's fault.
Putin.
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 That's our Texas accent coming out over here. Putin.
Putin.
So what do you think about this rumor? There's a rumor going on. This is actually from Nerdist, that the Tower of Terror.
The ride?
The ride in Florida is going to get a remake. No, California. I'm sorry. The Disneyland version is going to get a remake to have a Guardians of the Galaxy overlay.
What?
No.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know why.
That's a stupid idea.
It is a horrible idea. It really is.
Yeah.
It's like what you're in the prison and the elevator goes out on you. Is what they're gonna do?
I don't know.
Are you going up the body of Groot the whole time?
That would be cool. I really don't know.
I had not heard that, but yeah, that's a terrible idea that they should not do. That's like that. And you say overlay, so it's like, you know, I guess the idea being kind of like what they do with the Haunted Mansion at Christmas time. But
I don't know.
That makes sense. Like, that's a thing that thematically works.
Sure.
This doesn't make any sense, though.
No. You are now entering the Twilight Zone. Hey, you're going into Guardians of the Galaxy. What the fuck? No.
So I've never done the California version of this ride because the last time I was there, there was no DCA.
So the California version, it's a little bit smaller. Okay, so in Florida, you go up, and then it goes forward a little bit, and then it comes down the elevator shaft.
Right.
Right.
This one just goes up, and then the doors open, there's like a little scene, and then it goes up another level, and then you fall.
Okay.
So it's a lot smaller, and it's not...
Just from the photos I've seen of it, it looked like the structure itself was considerably smaller.
It definitely is.
Yeah, okay.
It's still
the one
fun, though.
The one at MGM... Well, it used to be called MGM Studios. Yeah. That's the one I did.
Now you're feeling old. I'm calling it MGM Studios.
Sorry.
Disney MGM Studios.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Since they own everything.
Yeah. So what's their source on this? What's, like, do they, is there any, does this story have teeth? Or is this just bullshit?
It has a lot of bark, though.
Shut up.
Well, I mean, I mean, it's not like Twilight Zone's popular anymore.
Yeah, but...
Well, fuck you. I watch Twilight Zone on the regular, man.
You do.
That's right, I do.
Not the people who go to Disneyland every summer.
Okay, I have no problem with the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, but don't take a popular ride already and try to shoehorn it in there. It doesn't work in that area.
You're trying to breathe new life into the ride.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't need it.
There's always a line there.
I can't speak to the California version of it, but the one in Florida is not having any trouble getting people to come ride. I mean, oh shit.
So I was talking about they want to build a working Marvel Studio Land similar to what they're doing with Star Wars. There's also talk of a Captain America themed launch coaster that would round out the land.
I mean, this sounds
so they're
cool,
talking about scrapping it and just completely
making
redoing
the whole
it.
Marvel area, I guess.
That's the only way that that could work.
It's better than Frozen.
It can't be an overlay. It has to be a complete rebuild. If you're going to do it, it has to be a complete rebuild.
Definitely. I mean, I don't think they're going to tear down the building and do that, but they're just going to reuse it.
No, I'm sure they're going to like if they do it, they'll use the tracks and the infrastructure, but all of the facade and everything's got to go.
Yeah,
it has to.
Just like with Nordvay.
So angry.
Frozen everywhere. You ever been to a California Adventure or Disneyland, Josh?
I've been to Disney World when I was about 4 or 5. I haven't been able to make it back since, but I'm hoping within the next couple years I'm going to be able to make a trip back down there because of all the Marvel stuff that they're starting to do, the Star Wars stuff. I want to be able to relive all that, plus all the Disney stuff as well.
I love Disneyland. I think it's a lot of fun. I haven't been to Disney World in quite many years, but I've been to Disneyland.
I was in Disney World a year ago this week, and Facebook won't stop reminding me.
Me too.
Leave me alone, Facebook.
I'm thinking I'm going to try to go this time around after
Disneyland
the summer.
Or World.
Yeah. After the summer, I think I'm going to try to go.
Don't go in summertime, dude.
After the summer.
Yeah, go. Traditionally, one of the best times to go of the year is like October.
The
October.
End of September and the beginning of October is a really good time to go. Because
it's really low crowds, and it's nice weather.
You can also probably get a free dining plan during that time as well.
Cool.
If you stay on property.
Yep. I more likely will.
You definitely should.
The free dining plan, it works. You tend to eat too much, but yeah. Because you're like, I have all this free money for food. I've got to eat something.
Yep.
Even if I'm not hungry, I've got to eat something. Yeah. It's like being on a cruise. You got to get your money's worth, man.
It's just like how you went to those parties and just kept drinking. Because they were free. I just got to drink them.
They're free. Come on, what am I going to do? Not drink it? Someone else would have drinking it. Then it's free. Come on.
So what else you got, Carrie?
So what do you think about the Inhumans movie might be removed from the Marvel schedule completely?
I have no thoughts on this, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. quickly becoming the Inhumans TV show.
Yeah, it really is. Are you caught up with that?
Yeah.
I am like two or three episodes still behind.
I caught up on the trip. I haven't seen the one that aired today.
Yeah, there's one this week. I haven't. I'm like three behind still, and I was like six behind last week, so I'm catching up. All
right. Right on. It's really good season.
I actually watched it on the airplane, too.
Oh, really? That's cool. Who'd you fly with?
Who'd I fly with?
Yeah.
Southwest. I just had them on my iPad.
Oh, you had it on your iPad.
So is that why it's getting potentially scrapped? Is because it's a part of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
S.H.I.E.L.D.? I don't know.
That would make sense to me.
I don't know. They're saying it just doesn't really fit in their Phase 4 plans right now is what they're saying. Because they have Ant-Man and the Wasp coming out, Spider-Man Homecoming, which is the stupidest fucking name and logo ever.
Well, Justin from Comical Podcast made it clear to me that there's a lot of Spider-Man titles called Homecoming.
Yeah.
So that's why it's
I know there
that.
Is, but it's just not a catchy movie title, you know what I mean? I don't know.
If I'm thinking, like, if they don't have a Homecoming dance somewhere in that damn movie, I'm going to be upset. But oops.
Again, I'm not bothered by it.
And Fantastic Four might be coming back to Marvel?
I called that one.
Oh, yeah.
With the failure of the last movie, I'm like, okay, and this is how Disney gets a hold of Fantastic Four.
Does Marvel even want it, though? I mean, just...
That's what I'm wondering.
Like, well,
I
put it to the side. They have forget to, man, about it because, for a while.
No, because they canceled the Marvel comic just so they didn't give any extra promotion to the movie.
Yeah,
and now they're going to have the movie. They have the rights back. They're definitely.
I really think at this point, though, they should just kind of like not reboot that story and just kind of throw them into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
They should.
That's a way better way to do it.
Yeah.
We don't need another fucking origin story of any of this shit. We don't need another Spider-Man origin movie. It's been done. We've seen it.
We all know who Uncle Ben dies. We get it by now.
Wait, what? He dies? What?
Oh, shit. Spoiler alert. I'm sorry.
Does an Uncle Ben come back to life, too? Was I reading something where that his dad never... Oh, it was a deleted scene from, like, the last Spider-Man, like, Amazing series, whatever it was. They're like, oh, yeah, there's, like, a scene where Peter Parker runs into his dad at a graveyard, and he's like, "I never died."
In the movie,
fucking stupid. It was a deleted scene. I'm like, come on,
that is dumb.
It was like some show we were watching, like the worst deleted scene from superhero movies or something. I was like,
well, it was deleted for a reason.
Yeah,
yeah.
That would have like destroyed the whole universe, man. Imploded.
Did
y'all watch the Doctor Strange trailer?
I did.
What did you think of Doctor Strange?
Looks great. That was, if you recall, that was my casting choice when it was still being debated.
We called that years ago.
Yeah.
That was like one of our earlier episodes.
Yeah, it was. But I think it looks fantastic. I don't know a whole lot about Doctor Strange, but what I do know, it looks like they're doing it correctly. So
I'm kind of like, why make Tilda Swinton the
Because
ancient
Tilda
one?
Swinton can do anything. That's why.
There isn't that white, what are they calling that?
Whitewashing?
Yeah. Come on, guys. Really? It's like...
Here is the extent of my thoughts on the matter. If they had cast the character the way the character is portrayed in the comics, they'd be accused of racism on that side.
Yeah.
So they can't win.
It's true.
So that's the extent of my thought, that there's no winning this fight.
You hire the actor that's best for the job. That's it.
Tilda Swinton plays non-gender specific roles perfectly.
She does. She can go to any bathroom then.
Stop. I'm just going to stop you right there.
Like, all right.
Did you see that?
Can she shop at Target? No.
No. Did you see that meme I posted earlier? This picture of Motley Crue, and it's like the new version. It's like vaping in the gender neutral bathroom. It's so fucking hilarious.
To some people, that is even catchier.
Yes. So we got to take a second, and we got to pay respect to somebody that's not really metal, but he influenced a lot of heavy metal people. And Prince passed away last week.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Not It was very surprising to me.
It was a shocking, very like, shocking announcement. Like when people told me, I didn't believe them. I thought it was a prank.
Yeah, I was at NAB with our last day. We had just got set up, and one of my coworkers came up to me. He's like, "Hey, did you see this? Show me his phone." And I'm like, "What the fuck, really?" And like seriously, like a minute later, Kim texted me. I was like, "Oh shit, it is true." So I went on my phone and looked at Google. I'm like, "Oh shit."
Yeah, he was like found dead in his elevator from like flu symptoms or something like that.
They said another article I read said he was up for like how I don't remember how many hours, like 156 hours or something before he went.
Yeah, I read something like that as well.
Like, but I mean, he was treated like a day or two prior, like at the hospital for flu-like symptoms.
Yeah,
and then he like croaked in the elevator.
Yep.
Could you imagine how bad that elevator smelled?
I actually live about 15 minutes from where he died.
Oh man,
you live? Yeah, it's because like. Isn't it the club where they film most of the movie nearby you?
Oh, yeah, that's First Avenue. That's also about 15 minutes away from me.
Right. So how...
As well, in north of me, that's First Avenue.
So how many... Is that where they're doing all the, like, the flowers and all the
like the memorial stuff?
Memorial stuff for Prince?
Oh, yeah. I mean, on First Avenue, they have, like, different stars of different musicians who have played that club. Prince is a huge star on there, and then they have like Bob Dylan, who's also from Minnesota, and then Frank Zappa, all of these different musicians who have played there. And right underneath Prince's star is just an entire block full of different flowers and grievance cards and everything. Just
I bet.
And then for 48 hours after the announcement of Prince's death, was they held a block party, dance party, until 6 a.m. each night. Where just like thousands upon thousands of people came to First Avenue and outside First Avenue and just listened to the music of Prince until 6 a.m.
Did they play Bat Dance?
Probably.
I think they did play Bat Dance. I know I've heard that a few times on different stations up here. They were playing the entire Prince discography.
We went back and listened to the Batman soundtrack this past weekend. That album doesn't hold up. Definitely, Prince's other music definitely still works, but that album, not so much.
Yeah, like, what's your favorite Prince song?
What'd you say? The voice in the other room is telling me my favorite song. I don't know. I like Purple Rain a lot. I like that song.
You like the movie?
I haven't seen the movie in years, so, truthfully.
Okay.
Did you see the David Gilmour video on YouTube?
I heard about it.
Where he's playing Comfortably Numb, and then like almost he breaks into like the guitar solo area from Purple Rain, and then like goes back into it. It's beautiful. It's great. But at the end of this episode, I'm actually going to play a Prince song, but it's not done by Prince. There's a version of Purple Rain that's covered by Todd LaTorre from Queensryche and Matt LaPorte. So it's a live version, so we should be okay. But I think it's a good tribute to Prince and keeping it metal at the same time, you know what I mean?
Word.
Very cool.
Do you guys have any topics you want to discuss?
Going once.
Balls?
My Kickstarter? We can talk about that.
Oh, you have a Kickstarter?
I do have a Kickstarter.
Isn't it the last week of your Kickstarter?
It's the last 4 days.
Oh my God.
From whenever you listen to this, it ends like May 1st.
Josh, have you supported his Kickstarter for his comic book yet?
No, but he's going to. I know he is.
Now that you know him.
Now that I know you personally, and now that I, of course, hearing a couple shows back when you were talking about the comics, I want to see that get happen. So, yeah, I definitely will be trying to support within the next few days.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. Yeah, yeah, just no Kickstarter, Speak No Evil, or go to Grey Bear Comics. It's GRAY.com. And
GreyBearComics.com.
Yeah.
Great. You and Justin from the Comical Podcast.
Yeah, we've been working on this for about 7 months, 8 months now, and it's been a labor of love. I convinced him to do a comic book, and he says it's totally possible, and we are working hard. We're promoting the hell out of it. This past month, we've been on maybe over 20 podcasts.
I haven't seen anything about it.
Really?
No.
It should be flooding everyone's...
Everywhere.
Facebook and Twitter.
It really is.
We're very close.
We're so close too. It's
We're at 96% as of today. Like, wow. So we're.
I just looked over your shoulder. You were checking a minute ago, and it's jumped up from where I, because I checked earlier today.
Right.
And it's jumped up.
I think we're $200 away from being done.
You're gonna do it, dude.
It's pretty awesome.
He's smiling.
That is really
He's,
cool.
You, if you could see the look on his face right now,
it's a pretty cheesy smile. Well, we worked really hard, and it's great to see something that you know that I created and Justin helped me create to exist in the world, and people kind of enjoy it. It's a great feeling.
I'm super proud, man. That's really cool.
It means a lot.
And you might have it in time for Comic Palooza?
Yeah, that's the goal. That's why we rushed it so quickly. Because we didn't rush it, but we sat down and we worked like two to three days out of every week for about 7 months. And we knocked that story out of the park. We got three scripts written. We're working on the fourth right now. And we got
and
plans.
I'm in issue number two, so it's got to be made.
Yeah. You are in issue two. You actually have a talking role.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm not like a Silent Bob in the comic.
No. And whatchamacallit. And yeah.
There's candy bars in it too. Whatchamacallit?
Whatchamacallit? So there might be candy bars, right. But I don't know how long has candy bar whatchamacallit's been around.
For a long time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's not since the 30s, so it doesn't count.
Maybe not. I don't know. He's checking his phone now. What's it at now? We need a drum roll now. What's the title? The tally now?
It's still. It was an update from someone else. It's not me.
Same. Okay. Fuck.
yeah. So please check it out. It's a horror comedy. I'm pretty sure you've heard about it from. If you've listened to the show, you've heard about it from me or Justin. Thank
and
you.
Me.
For, yeah, and you. And thank you for everyone who's donated. And please show your continued support.
Now, one of the things that I want to talk about is Comic Palooza now.
Whoop, whoop.
So we're officially part of the Comic Palooza podcast partnership program, and I'm super excited for this year. What's up?
What does that mean?
What does that mean? What?
To be part of the partnership program.
That we're supporting the local con, and they're supporting us.
Oh, cool.
They're the only con in America that actually supports podcasters. So, and I really got to pat the guy on the back who created this and got it all started.
Kevin Smith?
No, me.
Oh. Sorry. I thought we were talking about podcasting.
No, I was
in general.
Podcasting before Kevin Smith, man.
That's true.
I was.
You were.
Yeah.
According to you.
He was actually
acknowledged by Kevin Smith.
Yeah,
acknowledged by Kevin Smith, yeah. not anywhere near as popular or making any money off of it, but yeah.
Right
Kevin
on.
Smith, thank you. So let's talk about some of the guests that are going to be at Comic Palooza this year. Let's talk about some of the metal stuff that'll be there. Fear Factory. We're going to have Burton C. Bell as well as Dino. And Dino promised he's going to come in a costume one day.
As so what?
I know, but I can't tell you yet.
Oh, okay. You can't let the cat out of the bag.
And you just interviewed Burton today, didn't you, Josh?
I did. I got to have a great 20-minute conversation with him about D-Manufacture.
Very cool. We just saw that live about a month ago. I have my drum head waiting to be signed by the rest of the band right here.
Nice.
So who else is coming? So we have a huge lineup for the 30th anniversary of Aliens.
Which Alien Day was yesterday?
Aliens Day was yesterday. I know all about that. So unfortunately, there was a cancellation. Lance Henriksen had to cancel.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, he's filming a movie. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, busy schedule, yeah.
But Alec Gillis is going to be there. He was actually started working on Aliens like after Alien 3 on, you know, actual... the special effects portion of the movies. We have a bunch of other actors from the movie. Cynthia Scott, Rico Ross, William Hope, Daniel Cash. It's pretty amazing. A lot of guests. We have Giorgio Dono back, and he's actually bringing props from the movie he's working on right now, which is Death House. Remember we talked about that a couple episodes ago?
Yeah, like
I do remember something about that.
It's the Expendables of horror movies.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm hoping to get too. Better explanation than that.
That's what they're calling it.
Okay.
The Expendable. It's a bunch of different horror movie actors getting together and doing a movie. What else do you need?
Like Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, Mike Myers.
Robert Englund's in it.
But they're not playing those characters. No. It's just the actors.
Oh, the actors who are playing them.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was those characters.
No.
Oh, so that makes a little bit more sense now.
So we also have Peter Mayhew. Chewbacca is back.
Cool.
What about this guy named Frankie Benali? You know who he is?
Name sounds very familiar.
He's a drummer from Quiet Riot.
Okay. Oh, I saw a documentary with him. That's where I remember.
Yes.
I saw that Quiet Riot documentary, which is not bad, but not great.
Yeah, I agree on that. It's a decent documentary. It sort of loses focus in the end, though.
It's just them bitching for an hour and 45 minutes.
Trying to find a new vocalist, yeah.
And even when they do find a new vocalist, the dude still doesn't even make the cut.
That's true. Now the vocalist is actually Jizzy Pearl. It's true. I looked it up today. I'm like,
Jizzy Pearl, huh?
That's a callback.
It is a callback. Who is the vocalist of Quiet Riot? And I looked it up. Jizzy Pearl. I'm like, okay.
Getting that jizzy on that.
They're actually playing in Houston. They're playing in Stafford at the Fountain Pubs. The Pub the Fountain, whatever they're calling it. And like June 30th, like 10 days after Comicpalooza.
Like, Damn, Jizzy's really getting around the 80s scene.
Yeah. Jizzy's getting all over the place.
He's going to need to wipe him off pretty soon.
He's making a mess of himself.
Alan Oppenheimer, do you know who that is?
Yes, I do know who that is.
Do you know who that is? Josh?
I was looking up the name. I can't remember offhand.
He is the voice of Skeletor.
Oh, that's right.
Awesome.
I am going to have him do an intro for this show.
It's me, Skeletor.
He's going to do my fucking... Fuck that. He's going to do my voicemail.
I'm pretty sure he'll do that.
He probably would.
Nick Menza.
What's up?
Nick Menza,
so, yeah.
So Comicpalooza is very slowly going to have... Everybody from Megadeth.
Yes, every year we're going to actually have somebody from Megadeth until we get Dave Mustaine. That's the goal.
Okay.
It's the contract, if you didn't know that.
I'm looking forward to Nick Menza because he's actually bringing some of his own artwork.
Next year is going
to
be Chris Poland, right?
Sweet.
I'm just going to smile and nod. yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting him. I want to get definitely. He said he's doing original artwork on drum heads and stuff like that. And you know, I collect drum heads for autographed drum heads, so I'm looking forward to buying something from him.
Really like those heads, huh?
When there's drums attached to them, I do. We have the cast of the some movie called The Boondock Saints.
Oh yeah, Norman Reedus, Sean Patrick Flannery, young Indiana Jones.
Yep, Powder.
Powder, yeah.
Norman Reedus has time now.
He does. Oh, whoa.
What?
Wait, what?
Does that mean he dies?
Spoiler. You don't know. Oh. Actually, I'm thinking about breaking my hiatus.
The show is on a...
I'm kidding.
No, it's a season break. I was like, that doesn't make sense.
I went to high school. Okay, so this is weird. My freshman year of high school was Sean Patrick Flannery's senior year of high school. So I want to bring my freshman yearbook to get autographed.
You should. Have it signed right underneath his picture.
Yeah. He'd like, probably do it
for... Like, bitch, I knew you.
Should I do that for free? I didn't know him, but I probably met him a few times. He's like, did I kick your ass
he's
in
really,
high school?
He's really nice.
Nah, I know.
When Boondock Saints 2 came out in theaters, I saw it at the Edwards Marquee, and he was sitting in the back with his handler, I guess.
Oh, really?
And then he surprised everybody.
He has a book coming out, too.
Oh.
Which will be available at Comicpalooza. So does Burton. He has a graphic novel, which I'm probably going to pick up from him and get him an autograph.
Sean Patrick Flannery has a comic book or
a novel.
Oh, like about his life and shit?
It's a fiction
That's
book,
not a believe. Novel.
Oh, it could
it's a
be.
Novel, not an autobiography.
Excuse the dumb one here. All right.
We try.
I'm trying to look. Who else is... It's popular enough to mention right real quick. We got our great friend of the show, Ming Chen.
Ming Chen.
From ABC. AMC is comic book.
Not ABC. Not yet.
Not yet. But yeah... Ming Chen's a good friend of the show, and he supports the podcasting program like you would not believe.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward. He's awesome. You're going to have Elijah Dushku.
Elijah Dushku?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have Kate fucking Beckinsale.
Oh, yeah. The vampire hunter lady.
Right before the new Underworld movie comes out later this year. Underworld 14, whatever they're calling it.
Like Underworld Who Fucking Cares number.
What's that?
Yeah. Whichever number.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Underworld Down Under.
Yeah. Bill Paxton's going to be here.
Bill Paxton. We have a lot of the original cast from Aliens. We're going to have, you know, Bill Paxton,
Sigourney Weaver,
Ric Flair, Tara Reid, Michael Biehn will be here.
Lou Ferrigno.
We're going to have Paul Reiser, man.
Excellent.
That is excellent, man. You're not mad about that?
Shut up.
I was saying we need to get what's her name? Helen Hunt, because... we could have a Twister and a Mad About You reunion in the same show. You got two of the guys right there.
Mad About Twister.
Mad About Twister, exactly. I'm mad about the ride going away from, you know.
Oh, you're
going
to have that guy from Walking Dead.
Lenny James.
Yeah, Morgan.
We have two guys, two members of the Walking Dead cast that are.
I wonder if they're gonna have a table next to each other.
We don't know. Walter Koenig, the original Star Trek guy. Bad dude from Star Trek. What was his name?
Chekhov.
There's some Trekkies out there who just want to tear your face off.
There's one sitting across the table from him right now.
Let's Kel Mitchell. Come on. We have fucking Kel, dude. Keenan and Kel.
Keenan and Kel.
And we have David Prowse. So we have Darth Vader and Chewbacca in the same place.
Oh, that is so cool.
Well, the guy who donned the costume of Darth Vader.
Yes. Not the voice.
Not the voice. No. That's James Earl Jones.
That is correct.
Darth Vader is too awesome of a character to be depicted by a single person.
That is correct.
Sure.
At least it's not Hayden Christensen that we're bringing.
I have no response.
Why? I mean,
I'm no one saying. Should.
At least it's not. So yeah, there's some of the lineup for Comic Palooza. It's June 17th through 19th. At the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas.
I wonder what Hayden Christensen's been doing with his life.
We'll get into it later.
So you're going to be there, right?
Where?
At Comic Palooza.
I have to be there.
Why?
I'm working the show.
Okay. What about you? You're going to be there.
I will be there.
I'll be there. Metal Geeks will be there.
That's what I meant by working the show. I'll be working in Metal Geek capacity.
That's right, you will, because I'll be busy. So you're doing all the Metal Geek stuff that we can.
Because I can't, because I'll be doing Geekazoid stuff. Yep.
You know, yep. Guys, I might have a comic book. I might be too busy.
We'll all be too busy.
I will. We'll make time for it. We do have a panel on. We have a couple panels. So one of our panels is on. I don't even know the day of it right now. It's not officially released yet, so I guess I can't really talk about it. But we will have our own live panel from the show, as well as we're doing another podcasting panel. And Ming Chen has agreed to be on it.
Oh,
so
cool.
We're doing basically, it's podcasting 103. It's how to make money from your podcast.
I thought 103 was last year.
It was it?
I think so.
Maybe we're doing 104?
I think it's 104.
It is 104, yeah. Those damn numbers.
Like 104 KRB?
No, not 104 KRB. So let's, I guess it's time to wrap up the show. What do you think? I have some news that I want to talk about real quick.
Sure, what's your news?
Guess where we are located now?
Houston, Texas.
No, not like physically, but guess where you can find us on the internet now. And you too, Josh, I believe.
Oh,
that,
really?
That drummer guy and both MSRcast and Metal Geeks are now on the Google Play Store.
That is correct.
We are part of the podcasting network for Google. How awesome is that?
Excellent news.
It is excellent.
Google.
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 So now you can actually Google us and we'll actually pop up.
I'm a Google Music subscriber now. So
are you?
Yeah.
That's right, you are.
I switched over from Spotify a couple months ago.
That's right. So you could actually populate our podcast right in your feed.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they are supporting podcasts because it needs to happen more, not just the big names. So, I mean, we're not big names. We're not a Kevin Smith. We're not a Chris Hardwick. But there's support for us still, which is great. You know, there's so many different niche podcasts out there that everybody deserves their own place out there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Word.
Word to your mother.
Ice cold.
So you want to do the rundown on where else they can find everybody?
I'm going to let you do it without even pulling it up on the website. Can you?
iTunes.
Not all of them, no. I don't have it. You don't have it committed to memory either, Carrie.
I do not. I do know we're on Metal Onslaught Radio with Josh here.
There
yep.
we go.
That's right.
That was going to be my next one.
That's Tuesday nights, right? Yes.
You guys are Tuesday nights. I'm on Thursdays.
That's right. With MSRcast.
Yes.
That's right. Great night. Great night of fucking metal.
Oh, yes.
Fucking metal. Not just metal, but fucking metal.
Just
fucking
the whole
metal.
Station in general.
Yeah, TJ over there is killing it, man. I mean, I know he's had some technical difficulties, was down for a couple weeks, but he's bringing it back better than ever. And we support him, and everybody out there should go support him, too. So there's an app for your phone, guys. So if you can't say I can't listen to it, download the app, press play, you're listening to it no matter what. It's great.
Word.
To your mother. let's see, where else can you find us? I'm gonna let George do it now.
Sure. Earth Station One, ESO Network, right?
That's right, the ESO Podcast Network.
I know that because I did a podcast with them yesterday.
That's right.
Or a couple of days ago.
How was that?
It was actually really good. They're fun guys.
Yeah, they are very cool.
actually, that episode should be live now. So
cool. I will definitely link to it.
It's somewhere on Facebook.
Did you get in the geek seat?
Yeah, me and Justin both.
I've been in the geek seat. It's very uncomfortable.
Is it uncomfortable? I had no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess you're used to that.
I am used to being in the hot seat, I suppose. I don't know where am I supposed to be looking, and Carrie's just turned a screen at me, so...
You could say the Blast Syndicate.
Blast Syndicate.
Nerd Bong.
Nerd Bong. Pod Bros.
Altness,
yeah.
The Houston Nerd Casting Collective.
Houston Nerd Cast Collective.
Yeah. And?
And something else, because I don't know. I can't read it from here.
There's some website out there. I think it's called metalgeeks.net.
Oh, yeah.
You can find our episode there, too.
That is a good way to find it.
We're on iTunes and Stitcher.
And besides iTunes. I said iTunes before we started, guys.
iTunes and Stitcher. When you go to iTunes, subscribe to us there. Leave us a review. Give us give us 5 stars. Because leaving reviews, good, no matter what it is, it really does help people find the show. And that's all we can ask from you. That and to buy a pair of headphones from
Tweaked our sponsor,
from tweakedaudio.com. Ding.
Metal Geeks is Metal the Geeks. Code.
Yeah. I think that's it. Let's talk about our social medias.
You could find us everywhere on social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Metal Geeks. And thanks for Bill for handling all that jazz.
Thank you, Bill.
Josh, where can they find you and yours on social media and other online presence?
If you're interested in what I do as that drummer guy, of course, check out Metal Onslaught Radio Thursdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central. I am also on 13 Steps Radio Thursdays 7-9, and every day my show is broadcasted at from 4 to 6 a.m. and p.m. on K-Rock's Zero Point Radio based out of Casper, Wyoming. For social media, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And, of course, I have my website, thatdrummerguy.com, with all of my almost 200 interviews I got up now, links to the radio show on iTunes, Google Music, Stitcher, and Spreaker. And pretty much links to everything that you ever need from That Drummer Guy is on thatdrummerguy.com.
Wow. You do a lot of interviews, man, and it makes me jealous. I wish I had more time for it.
Yeah, it's amazing because it was my girlfriend who talked me into keeping up with what I'm doing for That Drummer Guy, because it takes up so much of my time just focusing on the radio show, doing reviews, which I need to get back into, of course, all the interviews I've been doing lately. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be able to have built up That Drummer Guy as much as I have. And coming up on August 2nd will be my 5th anniversary since my very first show. Cool. Of That Drummer Guy.
Congrats,
so that'll
man.
Be really cool.
So where can they find George? It's all going to be Grey Bear Comics now.
Yeah, you can find me at greybearcomics.com and at Facebook, it's Grey Bear Comics, Twitter, and Instagram as well. If you're looking for me personally, it's George Tripsis at Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
You can find me as Red Viking Dave on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find my other projects, Geekazoid, ilovegeekazoid.com, and ilovegeekazoid on all your social media. I also have a new project called Haxan, which you can find at Haxan Arts. That's going to be a lot of the similar stuff that we, product-wise, that we do for Geekazoid, but it's going to be more art-focused, and it's much darker. It's much more brutal. Yeah, it's much more brutal.
Much more brutal.
I actually saw the art piece that you did not too long ago, the charcoal piece. Yeah. That looks really good, man.
Thank you.
It looks really... I love the shading you did with it.
It was very time-consuming. I'm really pleased with how it turned out. But yeah, you can find that project at Haxan Art. That's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. So please give me a follow and help me get the word out on that. I'd appreciate it.
Awesome, man. So check out our sponsors one more time at tweakedaudio.com. Check out greybearcomics.com. Check out ilovegeekazoid.com and haxanarts.com. Check out thatdrummerguy.com, right?
That's right.
All right.
Do you teach people how to drum, That Drummer Guy?
I actually used to. Before I moved moved to Minnesota when I was living in Wisconsin, I actually was teaching drums for about 4 years, from beginner to expert.
It sounds like you and Carrie need to have a drum off.
I think Frankie Benali and Nick Menza need to have a drum off at Comicalooza. I would pay to see that shit.
You should. Let's make that happen.
Let's make that happen. Wow. That's awesome. All right, so check out comicalooza.com. There's another .com we could throw out there. and metalgeeks.net. So I think that's it, man. I think it's time to wrap it up.
That's what she said?
Not recently.
Oh, man.
That's what happens when you get married.
or if you're on birth control.
Not even then.
Yeah. Don't scare me like that.
So that's episode number 101 of the Metal Geeks podcast. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, I have one last thing to say.
Keep it metal.
And keep it geeky.
Our guest needs to say it now.
Oh.
Keep it metal and keep it geeky.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And I close, and I got you. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.